Hodges says it's the type of day that can give the whole economy a boost.
Just having people out and about spending money in the mall leads them to spend money on other things, whether it's drive-through or Wendy's or McDonald's or going to eat somewhere or buying gas.
Stock markets are closed in the U.S. and Europe today for the Christmas holiday. Well, authorities think one of the seven people found shot to death in a Grapevine, Texas apartment was the shooter themselves. Neighbor Paulina Monzon is in shock.
I think it just puts people on alert, like to be more aware of who's around them. You never know who lives next to you.
Police believe the victims were opening Christmas gifts at the time of the shootings. Well, the maker of popular baby formula Enfamil says its product is safe. As CNN's Edgar Tragus reports,
the FDA and Centers for Disease Control has been trying to pinpoint the source of bacteria found in a batch of the formula that's blamed for the death of an infant in Missouri. A spokesman for Mead Johnson says the company routinely does standard testing on all its products. In this case, Chris Perrill says it took the extra step of another test of samples.
We are highly confident in both the safety and the quality, and we were highly confident even before we ran the second round of tests.
Some national retailers, including Walmart, pulled a batch of the product off its shelves. Edgar Tragus, CNN.
Well, there's been a suicide car bombing at a security checkpoint in Baghdad. At least five people were killed in the incident, and 39 others were hurt. There have been several attacks in the Iraqi capital in the days since U.S. troops had their final withdrawal. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The year is quickly coming to a close. So now the time to prepare for the new one.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center this week to save big on all top tire brands. Plus, get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on four qualifying Michelin tires. And get a Valvoline oil change for just $21.99 with coupon. And we'll throw in a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real deals for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Coupon good through 12/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
It's only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
There are several TV shows that highlight the problem of hoarding, but many people are hoarders and don't even know it because they inadvertently hoard stuff on their computers.
It is a huge problem. If you turn on your computer and it's running slowly, chances are you're a digital hoarder.
Jennifer Jolly is the tech lifestyle editor at Tekka, T-E-C-C-A, .com.
One of the first ways that you can identify all the clutter that's slowing you down is to go to a site called Digital Volcano. It's software that you download. It's totally safe and it's free, and it's going to look through your entire computer,
searching for duplicate files and folders on your hard drive. Something Jolly says often happens with photos when you download them and then rename them.
It will recognize all of those and ask you what you want to keep. That alone can free up a lot of space and deal with a lot of clutter on your computer.
And who needs the clutter? I'm Steve Potisk from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email. Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com? DoubleMySpeed.com? DoubleMySpeed.com?
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com, and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com?
DoubleMySpeed.com?
Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
Results will vary depending on your PC software and other factors.
As if parents don't have enough to worry about these days, there's been a growing trend of kids having their identities stolen. Fortunately, Identity Guard KidSure now makes it easy to help protect your child's identity. KidSure uses patent-pending technology to search and monitor thousands of online data sources for information related to your child. If information is found that could be potentially harmful, you'll be alerted to it quickly. Even better, KidSure costs you less than $5 a month per child when added to your Identity Guard membership. Learn more about KidSure at identityguard.com.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
It's only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
For tomorrow and Friday, of course, many of us do have the next few days off. And just, you know, take time and just remind yourself and maybe remind others how grateful and thankful you are to have them in your life. No matter how difficult things are, and I know they're challenging, no matter how difficult things are, there is always something to be thankful for. There is no question that is true. And I know for some of you that's a little bit more of a challenge than others. And my next guest, by the way, is I think something that will resonate with him as well. Sometimes you have to dig a little deeper to find what you're thankful for, but it's there. I assure you it is there. Before we get to my next guest, let me remind you we're going to be visiting with Occupy Detroit at 7:50, as we do every single day on the show, so you can look forward to that. And, of course, we'll have plenty of time for open lines as well. The phone number, as always, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And last but not least, on Twitter, @TonyTruffiano. Let me turn my attention now to really a unique man, a true leader, an activist. Somebody that is the self-acclaimed and nationally recognized author and activist. He is the embodiment of transformation and a revolutionary at heart. At a time where the city of Detroit needs guidance, leadership, and vision, my next guest provides that in ways that most can't even fathom. Not only has he never given up on himself, he has never given up on this city. And in a time, again, that we need leadership, bold vision, and something more than just people showing up, my next guest is doing much more than that. Please welcome to First Shift this morning, ladies and gentlemen, Yusuf Shakur. Yusuf, it's a pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning, and happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and it's an honor to be on your show as well.
I appreciate that. You know, listen, I know that you've got a story. Everybody has a story, Yusuf. Tell my audience a little bit about your background so they have a full appreciation. And when I say you're a leader with vision, I think it's important they know a little bit about your story.
My story is I'm a native Detroiter. About age 15, I've been kicked out of every Detroit public school I ever went to. My mother made me a ward of the state. Well, also ended up going to Maxie Training School. When I came home from the training school, I wanted to do good for my mother, but I didn't know how to do good. I had a teacher that took interest in me and wanted to help me go to college. And out of that conversation that night, it scared me to the point where I tried to kill myself because I didn't see myself going to college. Even though I grew up right down the street from Wayne Community College, grew up right down from Mary Grove, I didn't see those as institutions that could be my passport to a better life. That better life for me ultimately had became going to prison. And while in prison, I met my father for the first time. And that relationship that we developed in prison had a tremendous impact on me to transform my life. I served 9 years. I've been home 10 years since I've been home. I've graduated from college. I've written a book called The Window to My Soul, which details my journey, my struggles, my challenges, to be the man I am today. I opened up a bookstore. It's been there 2.5 years right in my neighborhood, which we've been, this year we was able to renovate into a cafe, do annual back to school supply, travel across the country, speaking about my life as a testimony of change of hope, and just doing a lot of work on a grassroots level right here in the city of Detroit.
You know, and do you feel, Yusuf, that there is some destiny to your choices? It seems to me that you're kind of that phoenix rising from the ashes at this point.
Almost definitely. I think when I look back on my life and look at all the trials and tribulations, I believe that was God speaking to me, walking me through those journeys, walking me climbing that mountain to be the person I am today. 30 years later, as I travel and I speak, and he's further continued to educate me and educate me in a way where at one point I thought, the struggles of growing up with an alcoholic mother and not having a father was like a black issue, a black problem. But as I travel across the country, this is a human problem. I see it in the eyes of a white student that I talk to who has an alcoholic mother, in the eyes of Asian students who doesn't have a father. So this is what God has prepared me to be able to talk about those issues and be able, out of my liberation, allow someone else to liberate their soul to be a better human being.
Well, and again, well, first of all, before I go any further, I want people to know where the bookstore is, because I think that I've already gotten one email, so let's go ahead and make sure we get that out. Where's the bookstore at?
The bookstore is located on Grand River in McGraw. The address is 5740 Grand River. It's right there where the old Olympia Stadium used to be. And again, it's in the heart of my neighborhood, a place where I helped once destroy, tear up. Now I'm back there with a vision of rebuilding it. It's one of the most dilapidated and abandoned areas in the city of Detroit. But within that area, you have a beacon of hope, the Urban Network Bookstore.
You know, Yusuf, I've got to ask you, because we look around us, we open the newspaper, we see that, the Detroit Free Press just did that whole series on, murder in Detroit and the different neighborhoods, and they mapped it out, and, it doesn't look good. It just, Yusuf Shakur, it just doesn't look good. Do you believe that we can turn this thing around? Do you believe that there are enough people willing to stand up and fight for what was once the greatness of the city? Do you think it's still there?
Of course it's still there. I mean, again, the Mayor Bean just did a campaign this summer called I Believe. And for me, that I Believe campaign spoke to the young students who are walking through gang-invested communities, walking through crack-invested communities, and still excelling, getting a scholarship offer to the University of Michigan, that grandmother who raised that child in that environment. That shows me that hope is there. It shows me that a human being is still there. My mother still lives in the same community, still fighting tooth and nail. We need leadership that understands that change has to come from the bottom. It can't come from the top. It has to come from people that care. The impact I have been able to have is based upon leading by example. And that's what true leadership does. It leads by example. It doesn't come talk to you, come patronize you, but it gets you involved because they are involved.
Well, that's a beautiful sentiment, man. That really is. It's a beautiful sentiment. We want to, Yusuf, we want to not just be proud. I mean, it's nice if that happens, but we want to know that there's a level of safety, and that people are once again investing in their own communities. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about heart and desire and wisdom. That kind of investment where we're building a community again, where we're wanting to reconnect with one another. That's what makes us stronger. You need capital investment. Of course you do. But at the end of the day, it's really about the emotional investment that we make in our communities, is it not?
Almost definitely. I mean, those citizens there, I believe wholeheartedly, is what's missing in the city of Detroit from the so-called leadership, politically, religiously, and on a community level. People doesn't feel that their people are really out there fighting for them. I mean, the fact of the matter is, we need jobs in Detroit. No, there's no jobs about to come tomorrow. So what we need, more important, is people with a belief system that we love each other. You know, I mean, we've always had it hard in Detroit and other areas, but the love and the care for each other wasn't to the point where we lost our humanity. And that humanity comes back when you're giving. When the first year I did my annual back to school supply, and mind you, we're giving things away. Maybe 30, 40 people came out. They have abandoned so long that they didn't know how to be receptive to a program that was there for them. You know, over 5 years now, we've grown. This year we gave over 500 backpacks. We closed the street off. It's a community event, community fair, where they believe that I'm not about to sell them out because they've been sold out each and every time. And so that hope, it has to be restored, and it's restored through committed and dedicated people that's on the ground.
Yeah, and there's no question that is true, and it's good to see that people like you are standing up, and Yusuf, I say on this show, it's not enough to show up anymore. Now it's time to stand up, and you are one of those people that's standing up, and you know, thank God for you, because you are, again, that phoenix that rises from the ashes, whatever cliche you want to use, that beacon of light. The important thing is that you're doing it. You're engaging your brothers and your sisters. You're giving them an opportunity, but more importantly, you're giving them something to look up to. You're giving them something to look at, as opposed to just looking around. And you know, again, progress comes slowly. It shouldn't be fast. This should be deliberate. And in that regard, Yusuf, you've certainly done an amazing job at reconnecting to your community. I just want to remind everybody again, the urban network is at 5740 Grand River. You're going to find Yusuf online, by the way, at yusufshakur.org, and that's yusufshakur.org. But we'll get it on our Facebook page, so you folks can connect with Yusuf that way. Reach out to him, folks. This is a man we need to be lifting up and talking about. And I'm glad that we had a chance to be with you this morning. And happy Thanksgiving to you, Yusuf.
Happy Thanksgiving. Again, thank you for having me on. The book, The Windows of My Soul, it can get off the website. And right now I'm also working on my new book, My Soul Looks Back, Life After Incarceration, where I'm really going to get in depth about what is the new vision for Detroit.
Well, you make sure you connect with us when you're ready to do that, all right?
I sure will.
Absolutely. Yusuf Shakur.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
But we don't have one protection this year that we've had for a very long time, and that's the item pricing law, at least the old item pricing law. The new one does not protect us, the consumer. And something caught my eye late last week. The House Democrats had done a press conference where they were talking about the item pricing laws, and so I thought that it would be a good time to have this discussion. So let me turn my attention now to my next guest. Joining us is Representative Douglas Geis. He is from Taylor, represents Taylor and Romulus, I believe.
That's correct.
Yeah, he has a personal experience with item pricing, the new item pricing laws, and so we want to welcome Representative Geis to First Shift this morning. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
You know, it's interesting because we don't have the protections we had a year ago, and so we need to be mindful of that. In fact, many people were quite shocked when the governor, during his State of the State speech, said, you know, one of the first things we need to eliminate is item pricing. Well, no one saw that coming. It came. It was rewritten, and here we are. And you recently had a personal experience with the effects of the new law, did you not?
Yes, I did. Driving back from Lansing, got a call from my wife. My son's in kindergarten, so she asked me to pick up two different types of noodles. He was doing a project where he had to do one of those noodle necklaces, learning patterns. And she also asked me to pick up some pistachios for him. Well, I stopped into a Walmart and, I was looking at the shelf and, they had prices $3, $4, $5. So, I grabbed a bag of the pistachios, went up to the counter, bought the items, and I looked down at the receipt, and the pistachios were nearly $11. And while I love my son very much, I don't think, you know, buying him $11 worth of, you know, pistachios is really, on my mind. And so I went back, to the shelf, which is what you have to do now. There's no price on the item to say, well, this is what it should have cost, and look at the receipt. You have to physically go back into the store, took pictures of the shelf. There was no item price anywhere, you know, within 100 feet that said $10.58. So I went back up to the customer service counter. Of course, had to wait, in line there. Once I got to the sales clerk, she didn't know how to handle it. She wasn't familiar with, the changes to the law, so she called over a manager. So again, once again, had to wait. Showed him the pictures, and he agreed that their pricing was misleading, that there was no price anywhere to show that it was going to be $10.58. He did choose to give me the difference between, you know, what the I guess the lowest price was in the area versus the $10.58 plus the bounty. But in my reading of the law, that actually is only used when something is mismarked, not when it's not priced at all. And I guess just, you know, to step back, that's the type of process that now you have to go through in order to prove that you've been wronged. And it took me probably about a half hour from the time I noticed that there was an error or an overcharge to the time that, you know, I was actually leaving the store. So under the new item pricing law, it says that if you have suffered harm as a result of misleading pricing, you can bring a lawsuit against the retailer for actual damages or $250, whichever is greater. In my mind, the fact that it took me a half hour to go through that entire process, I did suffer a loss. So last week, last Tuesday, I filed a small claims to really test out this new law. You know, of course, the old one, there was, you know, case law, there was precedent, there was everything, you know, everybody knew what their rights were. And now what we're finding out, talking with retailers, they don't know what their responsibilities are. Talking to consumers, they don't know what their rights are. And so this is going to be kind of a trial balloon to see what they mean when they say that if you were, you know, if you were harmed. And so that's kind of what led us to have the press conference last week, was just to let people know before they went into the holiday shopping season that the law has changed, that they need to be, you know, paying attention to what they're doing. But in all honesty, if you buy, say, 50 or 100 grocery items, you know, trying to keep track of what every single item was priced on the shelf is really not feasible.
Well, you know, and Representative Grace, you are 100% correct, and you know, that you know, took the time. And don't tell me that there wasn't part of you that was saying, and I appreciate you, by the way, being on the job, if you will, even though you didn't have to be on the job. You were there for a family trip. You know, it was something that your son needed for a school project. You could have easily said, you know what, I'm going to bring this to somebody's attention, but I do not have time to deal with this. And for those that think that our representatives and senators have a lot of free time, think again. And so I appreciate the fact that you stayed that day and worked through this process and are doing what you're doing, because you could have made the decision to walk away. I think we just need to recognize that up front. So thank you for not walking away, number one. Number two, I don't think you're doing this just to prove a point, though, are you?
Well, quite frankly, I was upset. You know, this is something that, you know, when we looked at the data, the governor said, you know, whenever we get into issues, we should look at data. We knew that there were going to be problems because there were problems beforehand. When I went, and I'm actually an engineer, certified Six Sigma Black Belt, which, for those listeners that don't know what that means, it's the statistical analysis. And so I went around and did a sampling of stores prior to the law being changed. And what I found was roughly about, you know, 38% of the items didn't have a price on the shelf. About 20% didn't have a price on the item. And there was about nearly 2% that didn't have either a price on the item or a price on the shelf. And this is before the law changed. No, another way of looking at that is for every, 100 items, nearly 20,000 times, you would have absolutely no price on the shelf or on the item. And when they went through to change this law, they didn't look at, they wanted to say, well, we were different than all other states, and they, were trying to say that it cost consumers in Michigan more money. There were two other state representatives, Representative Barnett and Santana, that went down to Indiana and Ohio, and what they found is our prices were actually 0.5% lower. If you compared item to item what it cost in Michigan and what it cost in Indiana and Ohio, our prices were actually 0.5% lower. When they made this change, there is no specification of the size of the font used on the shelf sticker. No specification where it needs to be. Does it need to be, in the vicinity of the item? None of that is spelled out. So what you're finding, if you go in a corner store, they may have all the prices up along the top of, the cooler. Well, a little lady, 5 foot, can't necessarily, see up there to figure out, what the price is of items. So, I think that, just the premise of it, that we were out of tune with the rest of the country, and that it was some undue burden on retailers. Now we've gone completely the opposite way, in that it's a burden on consumers. And yeah, it would have been easier to walk away, and I think that's what you're going to find from a lot of folks. If you're overcharged $1 or $2 or just completely misled, are you really going to go through the process that I detailed before? I mean, you number one, you have to have some way of documenting it, either that or, try to find a manager and, drag them back out to the spot where you had the issue. But if you think about it from a logistical or a process standpoint, it's very onerous to try to prove that you've been wronged.
So what do you expect it to now happen? You're just going to go through the court system and see what happens there? Or are you also going to try to change the law, modify the law to make sure the consumers have better protection?
Well, number one, I don't think, the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the governorship. I don't believe, if they've gone, to this measure to basically gut the law, that they're going to say, oops, my bad, and we do
it. Let me interrupt you for just a second. We got to get to a break. Can I ask you to stay with us a little bit longer?
Certainly.
All right. Representative Doug Geis is our guest, and thank you for staying with us. We're up against the break. So let's take it now, and we'll continue this conversation. On the other side, this is First Shift. You're listening to...
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW. Recently on First Shift.
All right, let's welcome Brian to First Shift.
I wanted to call in and talk about the comments somebody criticizing the station for being a tiny station.
Yeah, the Detroit Free Press today ran an article article that they referred to it as a tiny radio station.
It proves that ignorance is indeed profound. Because of the internet and because of the smartphones, I'm listening to you from Fall River, Massachusetts, the home of freedom and independence and a progressive mind.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, welcome back, folks. Representative Doug Listgeist is my guest, and he is talking about something that really is critical, especially this time of year. If you're just joining us, he was on his way home from the legislature in Lansing. His wife had asked him to stop and pick up a couple items for one of his son's school projects, and he realized that one of the items, a bag of pistachio nuts that on the shelf wasn't priced, he thought it was somewhere, I would think, in the $3 to $5 range, ended up being $11, and by the time he resolved it, it was 30 minutes later. Now they find themselves in a small claims situation. And Representative Geis, as we look, and I think that you unfortunately but eloquently stated it, we have a Republican-controlled Senate, a Republican-controlled House, and a Republican-controlled governor's office. The odds of changing the bill or modifying it aren't too good for us.
No, they're not. And on top of all that, people should have a recourse when they don't feel that the government has represented them well, and that's to put something on the ballot and change the law. What the Republican legislature did was to put an appropriation into the bill, ostensibly for education purposes, $100,000 for the Attorney General to educate the populace on the changes of the law. But in reality, what that $100,000 does is it makes it referendum proof. And we've seen that on a number of different laws that have passed this year. So it's kind of a legislative trick that really takes the people's voice out of the equation. And what we've seen, or what we haven't seen, is any type of education being done about this law. It went to effect September 1st. And the reason why it was delayed from when it passed earlier this year was to allow retailers to kind of make changes. But the only education that is out there right now is a very short web page that kind of details supposedly what your rights are, although one of the points on the web page says, does a retailer have a right to ask for your name and your address when you ask for a bounty? And the answer from the Attorney General is probably not. I know I'm not a lawyer, but that sounds like weasel wording to me. It's either yes or no, but to tell the public that probably not is not something that I kind of view as definitive education. But there's been no print media given to retailers. I was at a local Home Depot and talked with one of the managers. I saw an issue there and pointed it out to her. And she said, please enlighten me. Tell me, what we need to do, because no one has told us what our responsibilities are.
Well, isn't that crazy? Interestingly, I had a couple weeks ago had to pick up a cover for my grill. I wanted to buy a nice cover for the winter, because you're not using the grill much in the winter months. And so I'd gone into a local hardware. I like to try to do business locally. And I'd gone into a local hardware, and I said, hey, do you have this? Yeah, they're over here. It took them 20 minutes to figure out, Representative, what that cover cost. 20 minutes. And you know how they figured it out? They went online and went to a website. Because there wasn't anybody in the store that knew the price of that grill cover. And the woman at the cash register said, ever since they had us take them dang prices off everything, no one around here knows what anything costs.
And that's what I'm, since this kind of story has broken in the last week, I've heard numerous stories from folks that are frustrated, that have wasted, time and energy, in trying to do what
should be kind of a basic type of transaction. You know, what is the price of something? You know, is it, you know, a good value for the money? You make that judgment decision and you purchase it. But if there's no price whatsoever, or you can't find the price, or you have to, you know, hunt around and find, you know, here's the SKU number for that product versus, you know, a sticker that's somewhere on a shelf, it's quite cumbersome. And we went from having one of the best consumer protection laws in the country to having one of the weakest. And, you know, as people see, that's why we need to kind of educate the folks about what their rights are. If there is no price anywhere to be found, and you go ahead and you purchase that, you know, my take on the law is that, you know, you can sue for up to $250. And you asked me before, you know, could we change the law again? Probably not in this term. But what, you know, we need to do, there's three branches of government. There's the legislature, there's the executive branch, and then there's the judicial branch. And the way that I read this law, I think it may have been maybe an unintended consequence, but the fact that they said, you know, actual damages or $250, whichever is greater, every time they don't have an item marked on a shelf, it's my reading of the bill that you could sue for $250. And if that's the case, you know, I could see a class action lawsuit being brought in the state of Michigan for any consumer that is in a, you know, predicament such as yours. That, you know, you end up wasting 20 minutes of your life trying to figure out, you know, what something costs, and time is money. At least, you know, if they were making the argument that it took too much time to put the prices on the item, that's my argument that to try to, you know, to spend 20 or 30 minutes, you know, resolving what should have been a pretty simple transaction, that's lost time on the consumer's part, and they have been harmed.
Well, again, it just, especially this time of year, a lot of people are going to be out shopping. And, you know, this can be something as simple as a bag of pistachios or, you know, some major gift that you're going to give away. And, you know, the checks and balances have gone away. This, I think, makes things a whole lot more difficult. And it actually does place a lot more responsibility on the consumer. Don't you think, don't you agree with that, Representative Geis?
I think it's placed all the burden onto the consumer. It's really been a quantum shift. And let's face it, this issue has been literally on the shelf, waiting for, you know, the planets to align, where they have both the House, the Senate, and the governorship to repeal this. This is something that, you know, the different business groups have long said that they did not want to do. And as soon as they came to power, you know, they teed this one up and ran it through rather quickly. In the past, the people have said, no, we want that. We want that information. And, you know, through, you know, vote of the people, they have, you know, blocked any efforts in the past, to repeal this law. And unfortunately, the people don't have that same recourse, this time.
Well, it is unfortunate. We're going to keep an eye, of course, on this, civil action that you have filed. And if you wouldn't mind keeping us up to date on what's going on with that, as we'd like to follow it, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that are interested in this. I want to thank you for your time. I want to wish you a happy holiday season. Best of luck as we get through the rest of this year. And let's hope for 2012 great things for Democrats the state over.
Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure. We'll take a quick break here.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Are you one of those 11th hour shoppers who's only now realizing that Christmas is this weekend? Well, don't panic, for Jim the Elf Hightower is here to help. All you need is a bushel basket of money and the Neiman Marcus catalog of Christmas goodies. As the catalog itself says up front, exceed all expectations with out of the ordinary presents your loved ones had no idea they wanted. For example, the Tom Burr table tennis table on page 65. This is not your common rec room ping pong table. It's a contemporary work of art sculpted by this whimsical artist from an unexpected material. Black rubber. How delightful is that? And practical, too, because, as Artiste Burr himself explains, rubber makes the ball bounce. More bounce for your buck. Speaking of which, Burr's table tennis table goes for $45,000. But hurry, he only made 10 of them. But maybe you want something a little more down to earth. Neiman's has just the ticket for you with a back-to-the-earth trip to the Stone Barns Farm. It's a lush 80-acre complex with a bounty of crops and livestock, as well as a posh restaurant named Blue Hill. You're asked to gather 6 of your friends for this day trip, which will include, quote, a hands-on learning experience. It doesn't say whether that means milking goats, slaughtering a hog, mucking the barn, or what. But it's all yours for $9,500. What a deal. They get some work out of you, and you pay them. Only Neiman Marcus could sell that package. This is Jim Hightower saying there's so much more to choose from, like the $250,000 speedboat or the custom-made computer-activated dancing fountains for a cool $1 million. Isn't it good to know that even in this down economy, there's still a market for such pricey baubles? So get out there and shop. Wall Street is counting on you.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
He's in Washington, D.C., and we'll let Jeff tell you why, but we are pleased to welcome back to First Shift, Jeff Breslin. Jeff, thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm not good, Jeff. I'm really not well. I got to tell you, I look at what's happening on the state level, what the Republicans are doing. Yesterday, the anti-bullying legislation particularly upsets me. What they're trying to do to retirees' health care here in the state. Then I take a look at what's happening on the national level, which will tie me into why you're in Washington, D.C. this morning. We've got this super committee that's supposedly going to save us trillions of dollars, Jeff, but they won't even meet with their constituents to ask what they think will work. You know, and we'll remind people that you, the folks, the Michigan Nurses Association, are involved in a really critical program right now to highlight what's happening around the country, and I'll direct them to the fightmainstreet.org website, or fightformainstreet.org website. You know, Jeff, there's a lot of reasons to not be terribly good right now.
I would have to agree. You know, it's a shame that you get people that are elected into office that want to pay more attention to the donors, the corporations, and Wall Street interests than what they do their own constituents, the people that put them there.
Well, we look at the super committee, and let's focus on what's some of our representatives on the west side of the state. We saw in their last filing that they are literally, Jeff, bringing in thousands upon thousands of contributions from the wealthiest people and corporations in this country. Yet they're totally ignoring the will of the people by not giving them access to this process. There's something unconscionable about that.
There absolutely is. You know, we've asked several times in multiple different ways for them to hold a town hall meeting, and the response that we're getting is, okay, well, we've held many town hall meetings. Okay, sure, you may have, but you're not talking about the issues that are first and foremost on the agenda right now.
Well, let me let people know that we're actually not just the west side, the middle of the state as well. Representative Dave Camp of Midland and then Fred Upton of St. Joe, St. Joseph, who are both on the super committee, are both have brought in, again, hundreds upon thousands of contributions since they were appointed to the super committee. And again, the Michigan nurses have been focusing on trying to take better care of all of us. Jeff, let's remind people what the fight for Main Street is all about, because we did have you on for that, but that was, I don't know, eight weeks ago or so. So let's refresh people's memories on that.
The fight for Main Street, the nurses are leading the way on that. You know, we advocate for our patients every single day at the bedside, but we can't do that just at the bedside anymore. There are so many things going on that affect our patients and their ability to get health care, their ability to live. And the fight for Main Street, the Main Street campaign, advocates for health care for all. It advocates for jobs at living wages, good quality public education for everybody, and a just taxation system.
Well, again, and let me, and we'll get this up as well on the Facebook page, but fightformainstreet.org. Is where you're going to go to get all that information. So you folks have decided at the Michigan Nurses Association, in conjunction with the national nurses, that enough's enough. You're not just going to sit back and take it. You've done some radio advertising in different parts of the state. You've done some billboards. What do you hope, Jeff Breslin, to accomplish by this campaign?
We hope to get, in particular, with the radio ads and the billboard campaigns, we hope to get David Camp and Fred Upton to hold town hall meetings with their constituents to hear directly from them their thoughts on what should be done as far as their super committee involvement. You know, they're looking at cutting some basic services. They're looking at cutting from people who do not have much. They're cutting their medical care, and there's a different way that would be much, much better. If they impose a small financial transaction tax on the Wall Street dealings, it's less than 1%. It's not going to affect the companies that are doing all the transactions, but it would make an incredible impact on the average person. It would eliminate the need to cut the basic services that they should get.
Well, you know, it's interesting as I was thinking about this last night, you know, getting ready for the show for today, and I'm thinking about all the issues that Fred Upton and Dave Camp really have no connection to. They don't live in a world that you and I live in. Jeff Breslin, they don't understand what, you know, your rank and file union members do on a daily basis at the bedside of people of all walks of life, and nurses don't treat anybody differently, whether they come in with the best health insurance in the world or no health insurance at all. I mean, who better to you know, provide a voice to the fight of what this nation needs than the nurses? And, you know, the last time I had you on the show, you know, we talked about the burden that places on a nurse to see how families are torn apart by illness. This has nothing to do with how much money you have. Of course, that's a factor, but that's not what this is about. You know, there's an emotional component to this that shouldn't be ignored. And yet politicians so easily ignore the real problems that are happening. Nurses don't have that choice, Jeff. They don't.
That is absolutely so true. You know, the politicians, when they end up being hospitalized, and I hope that they don't as well as anybody. I don't want people to come into the hospital. If they're coming into the hospital, it's because they have something tragic happen in their life. But when the politicians come into the hospital, they are treated like a VIP. And when that happens, they don't get the same care that everybody else does. They have extra staff in many cases that are brought in to take care of them. They don't see what's really happening to the average person.
No, they don't. You know, it's I'm reading a quote here. You guys were provided me some information, and there's a quote from Emily Fredrickson, who is a registered nurse and a constituent to Fred Upton, And she says, my fellow nurses and I see the suffering that our patients are going through due to actions of big corporations and Wall Street that helped ruin our economy, suffering far beyond what we can fix at the bedside. She goes on to say, if Congressman Upton is serious about solving problems like unemployment and foreclosure that plague Michigan, he needs to take time to listen to his constituents like me and my neighbors. But here's the key to it, Jeff. I don't begrudge corporations their riches, but they should spend their profits on hiring people instead of purchasing votes from politicians. The voice of every individual should count and be heard, whether they can pay for it or not. That is at the crux of all of this, and I'm assuming that's why you're in Washington, D.C. today, to remind these people that everybody should have access to them, not just those that can write a big, fat, freaking check.
That is so incredibly true. You know, we talked about having Wall Street pay a tax on their transactions, and I hear a few people that are in the opposition talk about, oh, so you just want the rich to pay for it all. That's not it at all. We just want them to pay their fair share. You know, a very small tax on the Wall Street transaction, this already exists in some form or another in about 40 other countries, and it's working well there.
Yeah, and in fact, and we'll get into that in greater detail at some other time. We just don't have time to get into all the particulars of that. But this idea, you know, we talked, Jeff, about economic fairness. I've really come to enjoy that phrase. Because, you know, our economic equality, I'm sorry, economic equality does not mean, and let me be very, very crystal clear on this, it does not mean that I should have, you know, access to all the corporate riches. Listen, they take the risk. I understand that they're doing research and development. I could go on and on and on. And I don't begrudge a corporation their success. If they're successful, God bless them. Let them be successful. If there are individuals within that corporation that make disgusting amounts of money, so be it. But here's the problem I have. While the corporate CEO or those executive vice presidents or those vice presidents, and you keep on moving down that management ladder, as they continue to be rewarded for doing things like cutting jobs and taking shortcuts and really, you know, putting the race towards the bottom on a faster pace, that's what I have an issue with. That's not economic equity. It's just not.
That is very, very well put. You know, in this country, the thing that they don't seem to be keeping track of, you sit there and you take and take and take from the average person. Who is it that supports all of these corporations? Who is it that goes in and buys their products? It's a chain. If you don't have the average person out spending the money that they are able to earn when they're able to earn it, then the smaller businesses end up going out of business, and you get a very large gap between the average person and the super rich. This country is one of the richest in the world. That hasn't changed. What has changed is the amount of money is being shifted from the working class to the super rich.
Well, and we saw with that data last week and talked about it earlier this week on the show, how the 1% have seen a 275% increase in their personal wealth, the bottom 20% an 18% increase. Jeff Breslin, we're just out of time. Have a very, very good trip and a safe trip to Washington, D.C. I'll look forward to seeing you again sometime soon. You're always welcome on the show, Jeff.
Thank you, Tony. Have a great day.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Entertaining thing you're ever going to get out of Mitt Romney. The guy's just a nightmare. In fact, the nice segue to my next guest, who is waiting on hold, so let me go to him. Joining us now is Ben Lebold. Ben is the National Press Secretary for Obama for America. His resume, folks, is quite impressive. Certainly a hardcore committed Democrat, committed mostly to the truth. And Ben, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning.
Nice to be with you.
Listen, there's a lot going on, but the number one issue, Ben, certainly that we have to take a look at this morning is the payroll tax cut and what this Republican Congress is doing, especially this time of year. I mean, Ben, this would be unconscionable any time of the year, but around the holidays when people can least afford this kind of political tactic, is this what we can expect from the Republicans moving forward?
Well, you know, the Republicans are supposed to be the party of tax cuts, and what they've been unable to explain is why they've fought tooth and nail to protect tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, shifting costs down to the middle class and seniors. But why the House Republicans and the Senate Republicans can't come together to pass a $1,000 tax cut for 160 middle class Americans across the country. We're 9 days away from a $1,000 tax increase on those middle-class Americans. The president's been absolutely clear. Congress cannot leave town until this is done.
Well, listen, even John McCain, who has been at odds with this president over many things, agrees with the president on this one, that we need to pass this tax. I mean, we need to do this. This is legislation that is far overdue, and we cannot ignore it. Yet in the House, Ben, they're acting like it's the Democrats' problem, not the Republicans.
Well, let me tell you, the Republicans' number one cheerleader, the Wall Street Journal editorial board, has abandoned them on this today and made absolutely clear that middle-class Americans need this tax cut. They believe they will get them because the Republicans are really playing with fire here. Economists have made clear that this could do serious damage to our economy.
Well, you know, I'm not going to ask you to be an apologist for the Republican Party or for any party for that matter, but let's talk a minute about what the president has said all along we needed to do, and that is, of course, to make sure that we protect those that are unemployed right now and those that are employed, the middle class that are employed, that we don't unnecessarily burden them with an added tax that, by the way, only the middle class would be burdened by. The president's been clear that we need to pass this legislation.
That's absolutely right. And he thinks we need to do more than recover from the recession. We need to restore economic security for the middle class who've been working hard, but their wages have flatlined over the past couple of decades while the folks at the top keep getting wealthier. And to do that, we need to take first steps like he proposed in the Jobs Act, which would create 2 million jobs and put $1,000 into the pockets of working people across the country. And you compare that to the sorts of things that the Republican presidential candidates have proposed: more tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires, more tax cuts for large corporations, letting Wall Street write its own rules again and pursue the sorts of risky financial deals that put our entire economy at risk. I mean, that's a real contrast, because those are the same policies that led us into the economic crisis and squeezed the middle class in the first place.
Well, you know, Ben, we take a look at what the GOP has said no to. They said no to putting teachers back to work. They've said no to putting policemen back to work. They've said no to putting firemen back to work. I mean, yes, they're the party of no, but it's dangerous what they're saying no to.
Right. I mean, the thing about that is that the Jobs Act was filled with programs that Democrats and Republicans had both supported in the past, from putting first responders back to work to rebuilding our roads and bridges across the country. These were not controversial programs, and Americans know that we needed them. Two-thirds of Americans supported the programs in the legislation, and that's why the president made clear he's not going to wait for Congress on this stuff, and he took the actions within his power to move to create jobs, whether or not Congress was going to pass them.
You know, and Ben LeBold, I got to tell you, and I say this with a little bit of a smile on my face, but and the reality is, of course, the president proposes these programs and a way to pay for them, and the GOP still says no. I mean, let's talk about priorities, Ben.
Right. I mean, it's and you know, this is happening at all levels. It's happening on the level of the congressional Republicans, and it's happening on the level of the Republican presidential candidates. And, you know, Mitt Romney still won't say whether he agrees with House Republicans to refuse to vote for what Democrats in the Senate and Republicans in the Senate supported, which was an extension of the payroll tax cut.
Well, he'll let you know after something passes. That's what. Hey, Ben, I want to wish you a happy holidays. We're just out of time for today, but I appreciate you checking in with us today, and we'll look forward to visiting with you from time to time moving into the 2012 campaign.
Talk again soon.
Thank you. Ben LeBolt, once again, Obama for America. A quick break here, folks. We wrap it up on the other side. Give us a call now, 888. 888-
Alka-Seltzer Plus presents The Cold Truth.
Ugh, I took some meds for this cold, but I'm still stuffed up.
Honey, what did you take?
NyQuil.
NyQuil doesn't unstuff your nose.
Huh?
There's no decongestants.
What?
Try Alka-Seltzer Plus Night Liquid Gels, a more complete cold formula that fights your worst cold symptoms, plus it relieves your stuffy nose.
That's the cold truth.
Alka-Seltzer Plus Night and Liquid Gel.
Oh, what a relief it is.
Look for an Alka-Seltzer Plus coupon in this Sunday's paper.
I'm a teacher, and my kids keep me going all day. My feet needed help. I was using a gel insole when I heard about the ProFoot 2-ounce Miracle Insole.
Only the 2-ounce Miracle is made with custom-forming VitaFoam to keep your feet steady and comfortable. The 2-ounce Miracle insoles conform to the unique shape of your feet, just like custom orthotics. Plus, they cushion and support your feet for amazing comfort.
The lightweight 2-ounce Miracle insoles really help my feet.
Try the ProFoot 2-ounce Miracle insole, available at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and other fine stores.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio. I'm Matt Cherry. It might be the last big shopping day of the year. Folks are expected to flood the stores and malls today to use gift cards and make exchanges. Financial analyst Clark Hodges say expect retailers to try and reel you in with year-end sales.
You want to close out the year with a good feeling economically wise, and people spending money always makes everybody feel good about the situation, whether it's a small business or whether it's a big box retailer that's getting that money.
The investigation is ongoing into the shooting deaths of 7 people in an apartment outside of Dallas, Texas. Grapevine, Texas Police Sergeant Robert Eberling says it appears one of the 7 was the shooter.
At this point, that's what we believe. It's early initial stages of the investigation. We're not searching for a shooter at this point that's at large.
Police say the victims were apparently opening Christmas gifts at the time of the shootings. At least 5 people are dead, 39 wounded in a suicide car bombing at a security checkpoint in Baghdad. It's the latest in a string of explosions there since American forces pulled out of Iraq for good. A South Korean delegation has arrived in North Korea Monday to express condolences at the death of leader Kim Jong-il. The group of 18 civilians is led by the widow of former South Korean President Kim Dae-jung. Just another day at the office for the Green Bay Packers. They took care of Chicago 35-21 in NFL action Sunday, behind 5 touchdown passes from Aaron Rodgers.
It takes, obviously offensive line pass blocking for you and your guys getting open, delivering a catchable ball, and then making plays. So we got a great group of guys to work with, and there's a record we all share.
The Packers clinched the top playoff seed in the NFC. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The year is quickly coming to a close. So now the time to prepare for the new one.
Hurry into Sears Auto Center this week to save big on all top tire brands. Plus, get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on 4 qualifying Michelin tires. And get a Valvoline oil change for just $21.99 with coupon. And we'll throw in a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real deals for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Coupon good for 12/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
As a proud father of 5 daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
It's only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Has the price of your home finally hit bottom? When Wall Street returns from the Christmas break, expect fresh headlines on that when Standard & Poor's issues its Case-Shiller report.
People are very hesitant to call a bottom at this point because they've been wrong so many times.
Market Watch real estate columnist Amy Hoek, she says the housing market remains in limbo, even with the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage under 4%.
Rates are staying below 4% on the 30-year fixed for a while now. People just aren't confident. That's the missing part of this equation here.
Confident you're going to keep your job.
It's not only, you know, do you have a job? It's do your friends have a job? Do you feel like your job is in danger? And I think that all kind of feeds into people's fears about the economy and the possibility of a home purchase right now.
And expect the latest on purchases Thursday when we get a look at pending home sales. I'm John Werdock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing you can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about...
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com. And within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
I guess it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
Results will vary depending on your PC software and other factors.
The year is quickly coming to a close, so now's the time to prepare for the new one. Hurry into Sears Auto Center this week to save big on all top tire brands. Plus, get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on 4 qualifying Michelin tires. And get a Valvoline oil change for just $21.99 with coupon, and we'll throw in a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real deals for real drivers. Sears Auto Center.
Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Coupon good for 12/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
As a proud father of 5 daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
And only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
What we're going to do and this hour is very different than what we normally do. And so I'm going to ask all of you, I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on today, to kind of take a step back from our big bad selves. That's all of us, me included. And listen, and perhaps you will learn something, because we're going to have a very uncommon dialogue this morning. We're going to talk to a man in just a minute who is certainly considered a genius in his field. He's a writer, actor, producer. He is responsible for films like The Nutty Professor and Bruce Almighty and Patch Adams and Accepted. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. And he also is responsible for an extraordinary documentary that you, the audience, came to me with and said, Tony, you have got to see this documentary titled I Am. And it's why I thought I was ignoring you. I was busy, and a listener in particular, Joe Hicks, who will be calling in a little bit later, he was originally hoping to be with me in studio today, because this documentary, I think, changed his life, as it did mine. And you'll find out why as we work our way through the hour. But it was you folks that reached out to me and really shook my cage and knew that this was something that I needed to see, that I needed to experience. And although in the 77 minutes of film that became the documentary I Am, for some people, and it's like one of those wonderful things where it, you know, it's that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. This film has so many different messages that for the same 10 people to watch it, it could easily get 10 very different and incredible messages from it. So let me bring on to the show right now Tom Shadyac, the writer and director of an amazing documentary titled I Am. And, Tom, I want to thank you for getting up with us awfully early for you and joining us on First Shift this morning.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It is early out here in Los Angeles, but it's a beautiful morning. So thanks for having us on.
Well, I appreciate it. Of course, before we go any further, I need to thank our mutual friend and my dear friend, Tom Hartman, who connected me to Harold, your media guy. And that's how we all got here today. Tom Hartman, in, by the way, this beautiful film, I Am. Tom is just an amazing. I've known Tom for many, many years, and he has actually... Tom, very, very much responsible for helping to mentor me and to shape me into the talk show host I am today.
Well, he was one of my mentors as well. What you said earlier in the introduction, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and Tom was definitely a teacher for me. It's funny, when I first met Tom, I had no idea what his political leanings were. I read him and met him on principles alone, and the principles I found there really helped to wake me up and to change me. So Tom is one of those wonderfully researched, incredibly intelligent men that is helping us to reawaken to a new way.
No question. He also is heard on this very station. Of course, Tom is nationally syndicated and is heard noon here on the station. Tom Shadyac, again, my guest. I want to play just the opening... a little opening salvo from the documentary I Am. Jeff, go ahead and play that audio.
My name is Tom Shadyac. I'm a movie director. Facing my own death brought an instant sense of clarity and purpose. Euphoria. I decided to grab a camera and a film crew of four and start a journey. To spark a conversation around challenging and rarely asked questions. Have you ever seen any of my movies? Did you ever see Ace Ventura?
Ace Ventura? Did you ever hear that movie? It was a Jim Carrey movie?
No. We are asking some of today's significant minds, what's wrong with our world and what can we do about it? We started by asking what's wrong with the world, and we ended up discovering what's right with it.
And that is the beginning of this extraordinary 77 minutes of film. Now, Tom Shadyac, I have to tell you that, you know, we could do that typical interview thing where, you know, you're the multimillionaire director, very successful, work for Bob Hope. All that's true, that, you know, you've, you know, you're in the process of, you know, giving it away and, you know, funding wonderful things. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But... really, I think this is an amazing opportunity, as I said, to have an uncommon dialogue today about the things that we know are right. We spend so much time talking about what is wrong that I think the greater messages of life are getting lost. And I'm as guilty of that as anybody, so I'll wear that myself, okay? I mean, I'm happy to do that because, you know, it's part of who I am. I'm sometimes angry. I don't like being angry sometimes, but I also understand that I have an important responsibility as a communicator on a daily basis to get information out to people. And so sometimes my passion, or we'll call that anger, but my passion sometimes gets in the way of message. So I have to ask you, as you had, and I do want to talk about the accident, because I think that that's a pivotal part of why you have catapulted into this entirely new universe for you. So talk about that biking accident and how that changed you.
Well, the biking accident was pivotal for one key part of my journey, and that was making this movie. Now, I had already started shifting. It's one of the things that maybe I didn't communicate as well as I could have in the film. I had been starting this shift 10 to 15 years ago. I had begun to wake up to principles, again, that shocked me. I had no idea the way things work, if you will, the way we work, the way reality works. I began reading things like Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight from Tom Hartman, People's History from Howard Zinn, etc. So I began shifting and, you know, understanding that I was using far too many resources and that I was potentially a part of the problem and not a part of the solution, not as much a part of the solution as I certainly wanted to be. And what happened was when, so I'd already even moved into the mobile home park. For those of you who haven't seen the film, I've shifted and downsized quite a bit from a very large estate to a beautiful mobile home park. No one should feel sorry for me, but it's very much out of the vision of what we call successful in our culture. But I didn't have the courage to talk about it. And so I had made all these shifts, was in process of giving much of my money away, and I was sort of doing it alone and in the closet, if you will. And the bike accident, which was gave me post-concussion syndrome, and I truly faced what I thought was my own death. I thought it was over for me, my last chapter. And when I faced my last chapter, I said I didn't want to die with these ideas inside of me. I wanted to share them. I wanted to offer them to people, my journey to people, to see if it wouldn't be a part of their own, be a part of their own journey in shifting how they were walking in the world, the way they considered doing business with each other, relationships, etc. Because it affects everything. You know, these principles that awoke in me, it affects everything. So that was the shift, really, from the bike accident. But the shift was a much larger shift that had taken place classically over a long period of time.
You know, it's interesting as I and I know that you're, you know, I think it's fair for me to say that you're not a labels guy. You don't like labels, but I have to give you one, because there is something that happened to me as I was watching I Am. I saw, you know, what I saw was this amazing, you have a gift. There's no question you have a gift. You're a storyteller. You're an amazing storyteller, but that's not the label I want to put on you. And at this point, I think that you're very much a guide. But that's not even the label I want to put on you. What I think, Tom Shadyac, more than anything, is that you've now become one of the messengers. Not unlike the people that you sought out and featured in this wonderful film. You have evolved into one of them, whether you realize that or not.
Well, if it's true that the word guide is appropriate for me, I feel that I am being guided by something. None of this is ever about me and my name and any of that stuff. It's really about the principles that are animating me. And that's all I want to really talk about with people. It's not about me and, oh, you gave this away or you did that. There's so much more that, you know, I'm walking into and learning and doing every day. So I'm walking it imperfectly, but the principles, the things that are guiding me, animating me, moving in me, that's really where the power is, and that's what everyone is a part of. So while I appreciate that, I believe that what is guiding me is the message. I believe that what is guiding me are those same principles that animated those that we hold most powerful in our culture, you know, from a Jesus to a Gandhi to a king to a person who's just devoted their life to, you know, love and service. Yeah, that's kind of my point of view about it. And I think it's how we keep from dividing each other. It's really not about any Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, Tom Shadyac, this person, that person. It's about these things, this idea, you know, with a capital I.
Yeah, well, we're going to come take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this idea. We're going to get into some specifics. I Am The Doc is the website you want to go to, IamTheDoc.com. That's IamTheDoc.com. We'll get it up on our Facebook page. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. We'll also take your questions via email, tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break and be back. Stay with us.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Director, well known for the work he's done, becoming wider known for a documentary titled I Am. It was one of those movies that is almost viral in nature. Finding Me, the Way Great Movies Find People, by others who saw it and were changed by it. And in fact, Tom Shadyac, the person that originally told me about this is a listener by the name of Joe Hicks, and Joe happens to be on hold. He was hoping to be in studio with me today, but could not. But let me bring Joe into the conversation and introduce the two of you to each other. Tom, meet Joe. Joe, meet Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Joe, I thank you for being head of our marketing department.
Well, I don't think it really needs any help.
We do.
Thank you for making the film.
You're welcome.
It changed
really
my life.
Need help.
Totally changed my life.
Oh, thank you, brother. I'm so happy. That's the ultimate, you know, for a person who puts out a piece of work into the world, that it's touched somebody. But we really do need people like you, Joe. I mean, this is, as Tony said, how a movie like this gets out there. All my other films, Bruce Almighty had, you know, tens of millions of dollars behind it, $30, $40 million in the marketing department, and we have you. So I'll take you every day, Joe. So
well, thank you.
We appreciate you.
Joe, did you have any... go ahead, Joe. Did you have a specific question you wanted to ask Tom?
Yeah, I had a couple questions. I was going to ask him how much books like, you know, Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight influenced the movie, but I already got my answer to that. So I also wanted to ask, did you know when you were making this film that it would be the perfect antidote to Atlas Shrugged? And did you know it would be coming out around the same time?
I'm sorry, the perfect antidote to what?
Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, Atlas Shrugged, I see. Well, I was certainly familiar with Atlas Shrugged and Ayn Rand's work. I'd tried to read The Fountainhead several times because it had moved friends of mine, and I found a philosophy that I very much part with, and I really couldn't get through it. I read it, you know, I think I read the first 100 pages three times and just couldn't bust through the rest of it. But no, I didn't make it with that intention at all. Again, it wasn't to be as much counter anything as it was to be for something. You know, it was really about I think that one way we change things is to offer a vision of the world that's sexier, if you will, that's more beautiful, that's more enjoyable, that's more powerful. So, you know, I wanted to offer these principles, which are the beginning of a vision, I think, that can really work for everybody.
Okay. And do you think the mental illness and the world is still growing, or do you think that with like movements like the Arab Spring and Occupy, that it's receding and that love and cooperation are growing?
I actually think that love and cooperation are growing and have been growing for a long time, and that's why you see movements, even certain movements that are angry, you know, that have a lot of anger in them, that may be counter movements, because you know the saying is when a body is dying off, it kicks the hardest. You know, if you look at a book like Empathic Civilization by Jeremy Rifkin, he looks at the history of our species and shows this, that empathy really is the truest story that you can tell, empathy and cooperation about our species. And then he goes to a number of things. You know, we all think war is increasing. Well, it's actually decreasing. You know, we look at something that we take for granted, at least in our country, that women have the right to vote, and we're close to giving them an equal participation in our culture. We're not quite there yet, but just, you know, 80 or 100 years ago, they couldn't vote. They were originally, you know, viewed as, you know, almost property of the men, and the same thing with African Americans. And those things have all shifted, you know, and it kind of goes by, you know. I was on the freeway the other day coming home, and it hit me. Like, nobody sees the, even driving, as one incredible act of cooperation. You think about how many cooperative acts have to go into just driving home. It's incredible that everybody stays in their lane relatively, you know, everybody's going relatively the speed limit, what they've been told. They've registered their cars. They've gotten their smog checked or whatever the rules are. We're all cooperating. Even when we compete with each other, people don't realize how much we're in cooperation. Just to see a race, you know, man against man, are hundreds of thousands of acts of cooperation where people have decided, okay, these are going to be the rules, and we're going to meet at this time, and we're going to make this deal with this network to broadcast it, and we're going to drive and get in the car, and we're going to all have some food to get. It's all cooperation, you know. But we tell the story of the aberration, you know, and that's where we have to just look. These, we're telling the story of what's not our basis, because it's the aberration. We tell the story of the car that's stolen, not all of the driving that's in cooperation.
Right.
Jeff,
well, thank you so much for coming on, and thanks for making the film. You're amazing.
Joe,
the film's amazing. And
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, brother. I hope to meet you someday. You're the reason we did this, and we feel that something is happening because it's touching folks like you. So thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. And I appreciate you turning me onto this movie. You know, Tom, I've got to tell you, the Occupy movements that are happening all over the country right now fit very neatly into a lot of the message that I am conveys. And you speak and you capture in a remarkable way this consensus decision making that you talk about. And that is that really does encapsulate what you called the counter protest that's going on right now. This Occupy movement very much is about consensus building. It's the very foundation of what they are beginning to. I mean, we're talking about a movement that's less than 8 weeks old, and yet in that short amount of time, because of this vibration, this spiritual energy that I don't think people even recognize what it is yet, it has brought us to a place very quickly that we wouldn't have a year ago thought possible.
Yeah, well, you know, Occupy Wall Street obviously is a movement that is being, it's being fueled by a problem that we all can feel. Even those who oppose the Occupy Wall Street movement, I think, can feel that there's something off. There's something broken in our economy. There's something off when so many people can't afford basic, you know, medical coverage and to feed their families. And the movement speaks very well to that something is off. And I think the movement is still forming and finding, again, that more beatific vision. You know, I don't think the problem exists personally simply in Wall Street. I think Wall Street is a manifestation of each of our own, the energy that's in each of us. When we heal that energy, the manifestation that is Wall Street, I think, will lose its power and diminish. Wall Street only is fueled by us. It's fueled by our investments. It's fueled by what we care about. And when we shift what we care about, what we invest in, whether it's with our money or our time or our talent, Wall Street is going to shift. It's only an outgrowth of that energy.
All right.
The energy for so long has been, how much can I get?
And we have to take a quick break here. Tom Shadyk, stay where you're at. We will come back. There's so much more to get to. IamTheDoc.com.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Greenwashing. That's the use of shameless PR campaigns by notorious polluters to portray their corporations as benign, Bambi-loving protectors of nature. But now comes greedwashing. And who's in greater need of a greed bath than Wall Street banksters? So, splish splash and rub-a-dub, here came J.P. Morgan Chase with a holiday season PR campaign intended to scrub off its greed. The message was that Chase is not merely a bailed-out, fee-grubbing casino huckster, but a generous philanthropist that wants only to benefit humanity. Rather than simply presenting this image makeover in an ad, however, Chase created a two-hour television special on NBC devoted to itself. Called the American Giving Awards, the show profiled community groups that had received charitable contributions from the Wall Street Bank. Isn't that just precious? If any viewers miss the point that Chase is not really a financial behemoth, but a bunch of big-hearted bankers who give away money, the show was spiked with 8 30-second commercials about the bank, plus frequent reminders that the altruism being displayed was presented by Chase. Well, actually, this two-hour greed wash was also presented by us taxpayers, for the cost of the show and the donations to the groups are all deductible from the corporation's income taxes. Yet, we got no credit for our help. Probably an oversight. But the cheesiest part of the whole fraud is that the total amount of Chase's magnanimous donations to the five groups was $2 million. Come on, this outfit had $104 billion in revenues in the past year and showered its CEO with $23 million in pay, including a $5 million cash bonus. This is Jim Hightower saying, at J.P. Morgan Chase, charity really does begin at home.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out. HightowerLowdown.org.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Happy holidays and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now back to the clips and interviews.
Director, producer Tom Shadyac is with me. His documentary, I Am, I Believe I Am, is an opportunity. Well, it's beyond an opportunity. I believe that it is a critical piece of a puzzle that is not really that difficult. It's like one of those kids' puzzles that has big pieces to it, and you can look at all the pieces and see what the picture is. Here's what I Am does that no other documentary or film that I've ever experienced does. It gives us an opportunity to explore the sense of optimism that's in all of us. I think, Tom Shadyac, what really... What profoundly affected me, I've watched it now four times, and I think it's one of those movies that you need to watch again and again and again, because you grow from each viewing. From each viewing, you come to accept or understand something that you either didn't understand before, or it just kind of sprouts something in you, and that's really what it does for me. And so, as I looked at this film and wondered, what do you do with this? You know, Tom, for years I would go to film festivals with my radio show, and I would interview all these wonderful directors and movie stars, and it was always the documentary people that I would end up hanging out with in the bar at the end of the day when everything else is done, because these were the people that couldn't put it away. They couldn't, put it on a shelf at the end of the day and move on. Is I Am one of those movies that will never completely be done for you, if you understand what I mean by that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because it is, I Am, as the title suggests, is about taking responsibility for the energy that you put out in the world and your participation in helping to heal this world and creating something new. So, we had a very similar journey. I used to go to this film festival, which really helped to wake me up. It's called Mountain Film and Telluride, and it's a documentary film festival. And I, of course, have been to, other narrative film festivals, because I'm in the narrative world, making Ace Ventura, Nutty Professor, Liar Liar, etc. And this documentary film festival was so full of passion, and the people were doing such good work. The filmmakers weren't just making films, quote-unquote. They were doing the work. They were out there helping to heal, disparities of wealth, and helping to heal places of in the natural world that had been poisoned, and it was their life. And it was that unification, that integrity, that so moved me And I hope that that is what I represent now, is a life that is more unified. And it's not over. I'll hang this phone up, and I'm going to start writing a book that are about these principles, and I'll be speaking somewhere shortly that are about these principles. And the films that I'm trying to make now in my business are, again, about these principles.
Well, and certainly none of that comes as a surprise to me. I have to, you know, and this, by the way, this film is filled with remarkable people. And the reason that I'm not getting into some of the nitty-gritty, and folks, I want you to experience this movie for the first time whole. I want it to be something that you just, I'm asking you to trust me. Watch, you know, get the movie, watch the movie, and experience this movie. There's so much there that to give any of it away seems to me to be cheating you. That's just the way I feel. But, Tom Shadyk, I have to ask you a question, because one of the things that I got out of this, and one of the things that kind of has been pushing inside of me, you know, is that thing that we call truth. What does truth mean to you?
Well,
you didn't. Sadly, you know, I was paying attention.
We'll be back with the meaning of life after this. You know, it's one of those things like the scent of a rose that's very hard to describe, but I think we know it when we experience it. So when I say love is the most powerful force in the universe, I believe I'm espousing a truth. And again, it's one of those things that may sound utopian, and yet we've all experienced it. We all experienced 9/11, which was an act with so much hate and division behind it. And I won't get into why that act happened, but the love that came out of that act was so tangibly more powerful for me than the hate that went in. New York was just thick in the air with love. I was there shortly thereafter, and I lost friends in 9/11, and it was so thick and palpable, and the beauty that was being born from that fertilizer, if you will, that hateful act, that to me is a truth. And it's a truth that I think, because of the vision of society we have today, that we're all broken, we're told that by our religions, that we're all competitive, that it's a dog-eat-dog world, we miss that truth. So I think the truth is something that created everything. You know, I think it was Thoreau that said, above everything, give me truth, even above love, because love is truth. So truth, I think we know it when we experience it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Tom, because as I was exploring the movie I Am, because it's something that you don't just watch. It kind of explores you, and you explore it. You have a relationship with this film that isn't like anything I have ever seen. And the more you watch it, the greater that relationship seems to be in your life. And it certainly gives it more significance. And this is something that my staff here at the show will appreciate. After one of the viewings of I Am, I decided to start doing a feature on a daily basis called First Word. And what I do is I just come up with a word and I define what it means. And then it kind of has a theme throughout the show. And I've been doing that every day now for a few months. And that was born out of this idea that I got from the film, that there's something more authentic I need to be doing with this program. There was missing an authenticity, and not that that was the end all and be all, but it was certainly an element that I had not discovered before.
Well, that's beautiful, and again, that's the greatest compliment you can give an artist. And I think authenticity is a great deal of what the movie is about. It's a great deal of what I discovered on my journey, is to be more authentic. The word authenticity comes from the same word that we get the word author. And I think many of us are not the author of our own lives. And I even realized that about myself, that part of the story I was telling had been given to me. It wasn't what was true for me. My society had given me certain ideas. And that's where it really gets, you get on shaky ground when you watch a film like this, because it calls into question so many things that we take for granted. You know, every day the way we talk about economy, this film kind of blows apart. Because our economy was invented. It hasn't always been this way. There are many cultures that did it differently. And when you look at the principles of our economy, they are absolutely unsustainable. And that's why nobody can fix it now. We keep looking at how are we going to fix it. And it's rotten at the principal level. It's rotten. It doesn't exist in nature. Nothing thrives in nature by doing the economy the way we do the economy. So the film really shakes people, you know, at the core, as I was shaken. I had to look back at my life, and Emerson has this saying, Ralph Waldo Emerson, that we put in the film, which is a whole generation has gone to their graves thinking that they were helping the situation when they were actually a part of hurting it, the destruction. He said it more eloquently than that. I forget the exact words, but that's what I realized about my own life. The way I had done business, the way I had approached business, getting so much for myself, which I was taught that that's success. It really tore that asunder, and I had to call that into question. And my life was, you know, sitting inside of the hypocrisies, and I couldn't even see it. The person who's moved me more in my life than anyone is Jesus, and that I don't say that in a dogmatic or religious way, but the moral teachings and the power I felt in this life. And he said, don't even store up treasures on earth, you know? Don't store up treasures where moth and rust destroy. And my culture taught me, store up as much as you can, dude. You know, put as much in that bank account as you can. Take care of yourself. Then maybe you can step out and do some good things with it. But take care of yourself first. That's the opposite message that any of our mystics and teachers tell us.
Well, we have to take a break here in just a minute. One of the, of course, wonders of radio is you take too many breaks, but we
no
have
worries.
To do it. Tom, I write a journal every day, and after one of the viewings of I Am, I wrote and I dug it up and made a copy of it and brought it in, a very simple passage in my journal that day, and I wrote, I wonder if Tom Shadyac was afraid of everything that he never wanted to be and then became. I wondered if this fear that maybe he doesn't even recognize he had. I can hear it in his voice. I can see it in his actions. And it all disappears when he starts to explore a greater world. I don't know how he filmed this movie, but I have a feeling that he shifted 180 degrees from the time he began this thing to the time it ended. I wonder if there's something in that message that's meant for me as well. Was there fear there, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the fear was palpable. In fact, I was so afraid of the ideas that were animating me and of becoming more authentic, speaking about these things, living these things more fully, that it took a knock on my head by the universe that I believe I participated in that I called into my life to knock me out of my fear, if you will, which exists in your head. Your head is what's fearful. It knocked me right into my heart. Your head is what says, oh, you can't do this. Are you crazy? Everybody's going to think you're crazy. You're going to, if you give all your money away, you're going to starve. You're going to die. And I like what Martin Luther King said, which is, if you don't do the right thing and stand up at the right thing at 30, you may live to be 80, but you were spiritually dead at 30. And I didn't want to be spiritually dead. Yes, we all have that fear, and that's, if we look at that fear, it's really illusory, because what exists underneath all of us, we all have infinity and starlight in us. We are made of the same stuff that created the universe. Everything we see outside of us is in us. You know, that's why Emerson said the world globes itself in a drop of dew, meaning it's all in us.
All right, so we gotta take that quick break here, Tom. No, that's
I'll
all
get
right.
Off the pulpit.
Not too far. We're gonna hop back on here in about 3.5 minutes. I'm Tony Trupiano,
right.
Tom Shadyac, my guest. IamTheDoc.com is the website you want to go to. We'll be back and wrap it up on the other side of this.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671.
That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Documentary, I am. You know, Tom, let me ask you, is it available on DVD? Is it for sale on DVD yet, or is it still traveling the country?
It is, we're taking pre-orders now. It will be available on DVD, the first of the year. I believe the date is January 3rd. You can go on Amazon, though, and pre-order. It's on video on demand in December, and it'll be on, the Oprah Winfrey Network, coming up in January as well.
All right. What's in store for you moving forward?
You said it already. I'm in this conversation. So, I have a talk show I may host, so we can, again, take questions about this and all grow in this together. I've been in discussions with the Oprah Winfrey Network about this for a while. It may be there, maybe elsewhere. I'm trying to make films. You know, some are comedies, some are more dramatic. Again, that further this conversation. And I'm writing a book. I got a book deal from a publishing group called Hay House that, you know, deals with a lot of authors, you know, in the ideas or spiritual vein.
Now, Louise Hay is a blessing to the universe.
Yeah. Louise is a beautiful, positive light, and she's got, you know, people like Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson, and they saw the film, and we had a conversation, and they're excited about, you know, us, you know, putting forth a book about it. So I'm in it, man. I'm in it every day. I'm in the thick of it, and it's beautiful. I meet beautiful people like yourself and your callers, and it's happening. You know, that wall fell, it's fallen recently in the Middle East, you know, the Berlin Wall fell and nobody saw it coming. And, this wall between each other is going to fall, you know, I think it's going to happen quickly. It's going to be a tipping point, and then it's all going to change. And there'll still be problems, but we're going to greet them in a different way.
All right, just trying to get a lot in here in the little time we have left. I'd like you to speak briefly about your dad and the work that he committed his life to, because it's important work, and it certainly merits discussion.
Yeah, it's St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. My dad helps found it with comic Danny Thomas, and that hospital treats kids with cancer for free. Everybody at that hospital, just about everyone, could make more money if they went out into, quote-unquote, the free market, but they get wealthy a different way, and that is by, you know, offering love, medicine, their skill set, the healing. And it's a beautiful place, and that's what taught me that model, because that model exists, and other models like it, even like Paul Newman's Newman's Own, a group called Invisible Children, which is ending the longest-running war in Africa. These models exist where people are finding a truer wealth than what we find in what we've created in the business world. And that model, of course, people support because they find a power there. St. Jude raises $750 million a year, and they give it all away to research and to curing kids with cancer for free. And people are so generous because they're moved by that kind of work, and that kind of work moves me.
Yeah, don't question, and it's critical. It's critical work. As we wrap things up here today, and I don't know. I don't want to let you go, but I have to. Just the time's up, and you need to move on. I need to move on. You have radically altered the way, in so many ways, the way that I put this show together on a daily basis. I now weigh things with a different kind of scale, and I would hope that my audience sees that in what I bring to them on a daily basis. But Tom Shadyk, I think it's important for all of us to remember, at a time where we have, especially in this country, such a great divide politically. We are at each other nonstop. We have, in some parts of the country, next week elections. We have the presidential election next year. The conversation, I don't like where the conversation is right now. And this idea that we actually have more in common than not in common seems to be lost in the political arena. But that doesn't mean we should give up, does it?
No, it doesn't. Look, anger has its place. But if it turns to bitterness, that's like, you know, there's a Buddhist saying, it's like holding a hot coal and waiting to throw it at someone. You get burned in the process. I find the most powerful thing that we can do is to create something that is more beautiful. So rather than pointing that finger out, as our moral teachers have told us, let's look at, and instead of pointing at the speck in our brother's eye, let's look at what's in our own eye and create something more beautiful. And so that's where I think the energy really gets effective and efficient. And then those people who see things differently than we do are going to be like moths attracted to a light. But we have to bring light with what we do. And as soon as we say, you're doing something wrong, we've turned a person almost automatically, instinctively, into a defense mechanism. They're going to be defensive. That's going to create an energy that's going to come back. As soon as we say something like, I see things differently, but look at what I am doing. Look at the people that are working with me. Look at the business that I'm creating. Look at the model I'm creating. That no longer says the other person is wrong. It invites them into the conversation. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see that. Let me see that St. Jude Children's Research Hospital that you just came up with. Wow, you've cured this many people. You've touched this many people. You see, St. Jude didn't have to go out and say, hey, all you other businesses that are making a profit are wrong. They went out and did something more powerful, and now it's a beacon. So I think we all need to be more of a beacon. And again, that's why the film is called I Am. It's the only true revolution, as Thomas Merton said, he's a 20th century mystic, is the personal revolution.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Tom Shadyac, you are a beacon. You are a shining light. I don't know how our paths cross again. I pray they do and just trust that the universe will take care of that. In the meantime, I've enjoyed this discussion way too much, and I'm already missing you. And I mean that. You know, I love what I do. I truly... I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. God perfectly placed me where I'm at right now, and I'm blessed for that. I don't often get a chance to have this kind of discussion on the show, so I want to thank you for giving me that. The best of luck to you. Wherever your path takes you, you are and indeed are making a difference, and I can't thank you enough for the time you gave us this morning.
Well, I thank you, and I want one pledge from you that I get to interview you someday, because I'm so interested in how this film touched you and the courage that you've had to shift your life. So I appreciate you and everything you're out there trying to do, brother.
Absolutely. The blessings to Harold. Thank him again for this. I'll get a message off to him, but God bless you and have a great day today.
All right, brother. Peace. Say hi to Tom Hartman for us.
I will. Thank you. Tom Shadyac, just an incredibly gifted and intelligent human being.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
And kind of a stunning reversal yesterday. And I got to tell you that the legislation that I'm about to tell you about, which was House Bill 4326, made no sense to me when it was proposed by the Republicans. Jeff Farrington, I believe, initially proposed it in the House. And the governor vetoed it yesterday, which was a really pleasant surprise. Joining me now to kind of help me make sense of this, because I'm a little bit discombobulated now. The governor actually did the right thing. I'm not used to that. Is Carla Swift, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO. Carla, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, Tony, good morning. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised that the governor did the right thing. I understand that you actually sent the governor a letter asking him to veto this legislation. Is that correct?
Yes, we did. You know, this legislation, House Bill 4326, would have prohibited the state from issuing any regulations that were that would create a standard more stringent than the federal law, unless authorized by the legislature. So really, it sort of would say that there's nothing special about Michigan compared with any other state, and it would open the door to rolling back important workplace safety standards and environmental protections that have really served Michigan very well and have made it a great place to live and work.
Well, and again, it's let me just get your reaction to the governor's vetoing this legislation.
We applaud the governor. We are happy that he has provided this leadership. We're counting on his leadership to preserve Michigan's right to protect our families and our workers and our national resources. And, you know, this is really a victory for workers and anybody who cares about the environment and the Great Lakes. But the bill represents another power grab by the legislature and corporate special interests. This one was so extreme that even the governor couldn't support it, and we're extremely pleased that that he stepped up and used the veto on this one.
You know, this is reminiscent, and I'm trying to remember a few years back legislation that had this not been in place, I want to say it was phosphorus, but there was something to do with laundry detergent, and one of the byproducts of that, and without the proper protections, you know, we rid of really cost the Great Lakes a great deal in erosion and pollution. Why would, you know, Carlos Swift, you got to ask the obvious question, you know, when you're thinking about Republicans putting legislation like this together, why would they be willing to give up the one resource that is pristine and wonderful and precious, the Great Lakes? They were willing to give up that protection, and I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we think that it's just really another item on the business lobby's wish list, and it's, you know, demonstrates not a great deal of thoughtfulness on the part of the folks who proposed and supported this kind of legislation. It really, the federal regulations are written with no accounting for protecting things like the Great Lakes, which the states around the Great Lakes then have to step up and take steps to protect as the world's most important freshwater resources. So, Lansing politicians, many elected officials that are in Lansing today are maybe don't have the history, don't have the memory, don't have sort of our tradition of leading the nation in mind, and they're acting, you know, on an agenda that is really not for and about the people of Michigan.
Yeah, the brilliance of what you just said, Carla, the memory. You know, we talk about, you know, one of the things that when we think about term limits is we lose institutional memory. And you, when you turn over a legislature like we are now doing in the state of Michigan, often that memory is critical to making decisions. And who takes the time? You have to ask yourself the question, Carla Swift, you know, amongst our legislature, who takes the time to do research and to think about what happened one or two or even three decades ago? Because we no longer have politicians that have been around 20 or 30 years. And so the brilliance of that statement is right, 100% right on. You're right. People don't have the memory, and this is why it's critical that we're very, very deliberate in how we design legislation moving forward.
I think that's right, and it really does. You know, the experience of the folks that are sent to Lansing. And their experience in the lawmaking process and the understanding, you know, the purpose of rules and regulations and how we got to where we are, and knowing enough about that really affects the quality of decisions that they are able to make, and it's an extremely important job, and it requires a lot of thought and study, and sometimes we don't have folks that are putting that kind of effort into those decisions, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, this is ultimately very good news that the Governor Snyder vetoed House Bill 4326, effectively giving the state the right to protect itself and it's our natural resources and how precious that they are. Carly, oftentimes, you know, we need to remind this audience that water is a commodity, and there are others around the country that want that commodity.
Absolutely, yeah, and we need to remind ourselves also that the federal regulations really were set for the 50 states, many of whom don't have this precious freshwater natural resource that we have around the Great Lakes. And it really does, the decisions that Lansing makes about protecting those things or not protecting those things, those are decisions that could jeopardize public health. And not only jeopardize public health, but jeopardize also Michigan's commercial and sport fishing industry. So there's a lot at stake here.
Yeah, there absolutely is. Well, Carlos Swift, thank you so much for spending some time and helping us clarify the importance of this. And this is a big deal. And I want people to understand that, you know, the governor can do the right thing. Let's hope we can now get him to continue to do that with other issues that matter dearly to us in what little time we have left legislatively before the end of the year. But I'm sure we'll be talking before the end of the year. In the meantime, happy holidays to you, and thanks again for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for all the work that you're doing, and happy holidays to you and all our listeners out there.
All right. Thanks so much. Carlos Swift again, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Connected. What does that mean to you? Well, at Polycom, it means more effective communication. It means problem solving. It means creating together. It means meeting face to face without even being in the same place. It means perfecting the art of conversation to enable smarter conversations. Polycom keeps you connected with telepresence, video, voice, and more. So are you connected? Learn more at polycom.com/connected.
Do you suffer from a magnesium deficiency?
My doctor told me I needed more magnesium, so he recommended I use Magox 400.
You're not alone. Millions of Americans don't get enough magnesium in their daily diet. And magnesium is a critical nutrient that helps you convert carbohydrates, protein, and fat into energy. Doctor-recommended Magox 400 is made with the most concentrated form of magnesium available, and each dose of Magox 400 provides all the magnesium you need each day.
Magox 400's magnificent.
Try Magox 400, the magnificent magnesium supplement.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. We're heading into the home stretch before the first presidential contest of the 2012 campaign, the Iowa caucuses. CNN Deputy Political Director Paul Steinhauser says latest poll shows the January 3rd contest is up for grabs.
Ron Paul, the Texas congressman, at 21%. Mitt Romney, the former Massachusetts governor, at 20%. Newt Gingrich at 19%. Well within the sampling era. Basically, it's up for grabs here in Iowa with just over 1 week to go.
Exactly a week later will be the New Hampshire primary. A Boston Globe poll released Sunday shows Mitt Romney with a comfortable lead there. Japan's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant did not take the proper steps to cool reactors following the March earthquake and tsunami. That's according to a new government report, which also finds staff were poorly trained to deal with accidents. The disaster knocked the plant offline and sent several reactors into meltdown mode. Expect big crowds if you're headed to the stores or the mall today. Financial analyst Clark Hodges says the day after Christmas is actually one of the busiest shopping days of the year.
The majority of the sales will be exchanges. But you also have people that got Christmas money or Christmas gift cards, and they're in there, and they might just go ahead and spend while they're there.
The maker of the popular baby formula Enfamil says tests show their product is safe. This after Walmart pulled a bat from its shelves when a newborn who drank it died from a bacterial infection.
We are highly confident in both the safety and the quality. And we were highly confident even before we ran the second round of tests.
That's Chris Peril, a spokesman for the company that makes the formula. Well, mission accomplished for Tom Cruise. His new film, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, was the top-grossing movie over the Christmas weekend, earning $26.5 million. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The holidays aren't over yet, but you're so over them. Keep the holiday cheer going at Dave & Buster's with our Eat & Play combo starting at just $15.99. So bring your family, friends, and uninvited house guests for the latest and greatest games like Fruit Ninja, House of the Dead 4, and Big Bass Wheel. Then keep the holidays going and check out our epic late-night deals, because it's time to go from grinching to grinning and end the year right. Only at Dave & Buster's. Offer available all day Sunday through Thursday, Friday and Saturday until 5 p.m. Prices may vary by location. Limited menu. See store for details.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794. Call 1-800-822-7794.
As you resolve to shrink your waistline again this new year, don't forget about your bottom line. It's a good time to make financial resolutions, says USAA financial planner J.J. Montanaro.
Writing down specific goals, dollar amounts, and timelines so that you've got something to hold yourself accountable to.
One of the easiest ways to do that is to set up paycheck deductions.
Whether it's savings, paying down debt, or building an emergency fund, a great way to facilitate that is to actually put it on autopilot.
February is when cost of living increases and pay raises start showing up in your paycheck, so make sure you put that extra money into savings or paying down debt. And around tax time, remember, a big refund check is just an interest-free loan to Uncle Sam.
Take a look at the withholding calculator at the IRS website and get things right so you can put that money to work for you throughout the year.
J.J. Montanaro is a financial planner with USAA. I'm Adrienne Mitchell from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing you can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com? DoubleMySpeed.com? DoubleMySpeed.com?
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com, and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com?
Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
Results will vary depending on your PC software and other factors.
The year is quickly coming to a close, so now the time to prepare for the new one. Hurry into Sears Auto Center this week to save big on all top tire brands. Plus, get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on four qualifying Michelin tires. And get a Valvoline oil change for just $21.99 with coupon, and we'll throw in a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real deals for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Coupon good for 12/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, wringing my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
And only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
girls,
man.
Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to say it. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
Welcome back. My favorite way to wake up is as a Democrat, especially this morning. Let's listen to a little bit of audio real quick.
I want to thank the over 12,000 voters in this district, this community, who are under a lot of pressure and still came out and said no. And while we came up a little bit short in this battle tonight, we're winning the overall war to reinvent Michigan. And the laws we made are better for Michigan citizens, not just the select few. And I know that fight's going to continue in Lansing tomorrow, and there's going to be a renewed resolve to continue moving Michigan down the right path. So This fight was always larger than just me, and I appreciate what everyone in this community has done to allow me to serve for 3 years.
All right, that is former Representative Paul Scott. Joining us now is President of the Michigan AFL-CIO. It's a good day to be a Democrat. Carla, pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm feeling very good about a lot of what happened yesterday. Of course, we didn't get everything we wanted. We never will, Carla. But listen, whether you're a fan of democracy, which I know you are, a friend of labor, which obviously you are, or someone that cares about our neighbors, more specifically Ohio, it's a good day to be a Democrat.
It is. It's a great day. Yesterday was a fantastic day for Ohio voters who sent a wake-up call to the anti-worker politicians in Columbus by repealing SB5, the anti-worker law that stripped collective bargaining rights for public employees. So we're very excited about that achievement, and it was a huge win. They won by 24 points. So it was a good day for working families, the middle class, and collective bargaining in the state of Ohio, and that's good for us in Michigan.
What do you think that this win means for us, though?
Well, I think it's sort of another warning shot. You know, there was the recall of the two legislators in Wisconsin a couple of months ago, and now this overwhelming victory in Ohio yesterday. And I think that it really is a warning shot to the Lansing politicians who are thinking about attacking and continuing to attack Michigan's teachers and firefighters and attacking other workers. And the message is pretty clear. It's there's going to be a price to pay for attacking workers instead of fighting for creating jobs in an environment where Michigan needs to work.
Well, let's talk for a moment about what kind of message this does send to Governor Snyder. We know his colleague in Wisconsin's not the happiest governor in the world. We know his colleague in Ohio is not a very happy man this morning, obviously. But, you know, we've got a governor that the Wall Street Journal, tagged as a different kind of Republican. I don't think he's all that different, Carla Swift, than maybe the Wall Street Journal does. What does this tell Governor Snyder this morning?
Well, I think that it's clear that there is not the kind of broad support for this agenda that is really driven by corporate special interests that the folks in Lansing have been pushing, the folks in Ohio, the folks in Wisconsin have been trying to push. And we see that in terms of, the middle class and workers fighting back. We see it, we saw it here yesterday with the recall of Paul Scott up in the 51st District, who really, you know, sort of led the charge for attacking teachers and schools and giving tax giveaways to corporations. So the voters are loud, are speaking loud and clear that the, with the 99% is awake and they're ready to fight for what's best for them and their communities and their families. It's the fight is on.
Well, you know, Carla Swift, it's obvious, as the new president of the Michigan AFL, this was the first election where you were helpful in dispatching people to both Ohio, because I know that you were very helpful in getting some volunteers to Ohio, especially last weekend, and dispatching people into Genesee County to help with the Paul Scott recall campaign. As a first, you got to feel good about what you were able and your staff were able to accomplish yesterday.
Well, it's a huge victory for every Michigan voter in terms of the recall yesterday. It's almost been three decades since there's been a recall of a state legislator in Michigan, and it really is a victory for every Michigan voter who feels misled by the Republicans who have spent more time attacking workers than creating jobs. That just is not what voters sent them to Lansing to do.
Well, although the certainly the recall was close, I mean, there's no question it was close. We're not going to, you know, try to paint it as something it wasn't. 200, and I believe it was 232 vote differential there. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we need to remember that Paul Scott won by a 60% margin just a few months ago.
That's absolutely right. There's been a huge shift in the last 12 months in public sentiment and workers and middle class and everyday people's attitudes about what they are going to allow to go on. And what they're saying is enough is enough. Lansing needs to start working for us, and we're going to hold folks accountable. We're going to hold elected officials accountable until that gets done.
Well, you know, Carla Swift, it's interesting because we do have a little momentum. And again, I said I'm not going to misrepresent anything, and that's not a misrepresentation. We do have some momentum moving forward. How do we now, Carla, kind of harness that a little bit, because we've got another year before we have another election? Not that there isn't work, a lot of work to do between now and November of 2012. And certainly we can continue to put the focus and our energy toward those members in the State House and the State Senate that just aren't doing their job, mostly on the Republican side of the aisle. So what is next for labor? What do we do to make sure that this energy that we've collectively gathered over the last few days is something that we can take with us moving forward?
Well, we're going to continue to, as I said, hold elected officials accountable, and the way that we are doing that is through organizing and building at the grassroots level and making sure that voters in the districts where legislators are from who are making these bad decisions in Lansing, that voters in those districts know what's going on, and we're going to continue to build that base larger and larger. And it's, you know, it's happening organically. It's happening at the grassroots level. That's what happened in the 51st district, in Paul Scott's district. The voters weren't happy. They weren't satisfied, and they took it upon themselves to turn that thing around up there. We see it with the Occupy movement, that people are stepping up, and they're saying, no, not at this time. We're not going to tolerate this any longer. So I think it's the hard work of continually organizing, continually bringing more people to the cause. And, you know, one of the best ways that we have to do that in Michigan right now is through the efforts of the We Are the People Coalition of workers and students and seniors who are coalescing at the grassroots level in communities all around the state to attend coffee hours, to send do phone banks, to send messages to their legislators, to come up to Lansing and lobby back in their home district, and to just keep the volume turned up in the legislators' ears about what we sent them to Lansing to do, and what we are going to do in the way of holding them accountable.
Well, do you think that this election, again, a year out of our the presidential and congressional races and what will be state house and senate races, do you believe that this election is a turning point for Democrats and for labor?
I think actually we're at the turning point. You mean the election right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think we're at the turning point right now, as a matter of fact, not just in Michigan and Ohio, but I think we're at the turning point in this country, and we're about to tip, or we are tipping right now, maybe, that and people are saying politicians who attack working families and have had a free ride, that's not going to continue, that there are going to be clear consequences if politicians continue to go after working families, and we're going to continue to fight on and make sure that we don't let these attacks go unanswered, and we're going to make some wholesale changes in 2012 in the State House here in Michigan, to which the State Senate isn't up in 2012, but the State House is, and that's where we'll be spending a lot of our grassroots organizing.
Well, there's no question. You know, and for those that aren't familiar with Carla Swift, you just came from the organizing We Are the People. Certainly, Zach Pohl, the communications director there, does a tremendous job of getting the word out and attracting good quality, especially young people, to the process, Carla. Something that I think that We Are the People should be very, very proud of. And I know that that's an organization that is still quite close to you, even though you've taken on the role as the president of the AFL-CIO.
It is. It's a great organization, and it's made up of such a diverse coalition of people that are coming from a broad spectrum of causes and of interest. There are people across the political spectrum that don't like what's going on right now. There's people from labor, people from the faith-based communities, people from the environmental communities, the social justice communities.
Absolutely. Carla, we're just out of time, but I want to thank you so much. Congratulations. You know that you can count on us to help you fight the good fight moving forward.
Thank you, Tony. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Carla Swift, we'll be back.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with a very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
You know, I want to give a lot of credit to all the workers on the bargaining committee, because everyone made a commitment in the beginning that what was most important was our new solutions report that was going to look at efficiencies in the government, that was going to focus on the fact that when workers have real input, we can create efficiencies and make, a better government for all Michigan citizens, and also looking at privatization and really studying that and where it doesn't make sense and the management-to-worker ratio. And I think we stayed together on all those issues and won some important victories there.
Well, you know, it's kind of fascinating, and I'm going to kind of just focus on this for a little bit. This idea that, and we understood that going into this, you know, the governor has had a certain posture, Cindy Estrada, about the way he wants to negotiate, and he was actually demanding long before he even sat down that there were going to have to be certain concessions. Cindy, he didn't get any of what he demanded. And I find that fascinating, but what I think is really interesting about the whole process and about at least what I've been able to read about what this contract does is it really does exactly what he needed it to do, but not at all the way he said we needed to explore how to get there. So we ended up where it needed to be without doing it his way.
You know, and I think that's really important. And it was mostly because as unions together, we really looked at where we could create savings and really push the state to look at their side of the street. So when we look at healthcare, there we know that there's better ways to look at healthcare instead of cost shifting, you know, to save money. And so we pointed that out to the governor. We also pointed out that there was tons of inefficiencies in the state that workers have been raising for years, but no one's really listening, and that if we really wanted to save money and not kick the can down the street, as the governor says, then we need to look at those savings, else we're going to be in the same position every year from now. So we were going to look at really the real problems in the state instead of blaming state workers for those problems. So I do got to, you know, commend the government the governor for being open to looking at those. And we're going to put committees together that are going to look at just that. Workers should not be vilified when we have a management-to-worker ratio that just doesn't make sense in our state. And so we're going to look at all of those things together and figure out how we save money those ways instead of attacking workers.
Well, you know, Cindy, if we can talk about the new solutions, I think it was back in July, you know, we had you in studio, and this was before serious negotiations began. And, you know, the governor had actually sent out a message, you know, through the media saying, you know, we need to cut $145 million. You know, they're gonna have to come to the table, and they need to understand that they're gonna have to pay more for their health care. There are just certain realities, and of course, you folks had just come out with the study that showed that the management to worker ratio was way out of whack, and that you could actually accomplish what he wanted monetarily just by tweaking the management to worker ratio. That in and of itself would have done it, but I don't know that I had any optimism that you would be able to do that, because, Cindy, if we look at everything this Republican legislature and this Republican governor has done in the last 11 months, none of it, not a single thing, save this contract, has gone the way we hoped it would.
You know, because it's really sad. What you see is a bunch of legislators looking at how you solve problems without involving workers. And it's really easy to sit on their high perches. It's really easy to, you know, have this ideology and say that these decisions make sense that they're doing. But really the smarter way to go is to sit down and talk to workers and let labor and management work together to solve some problems. And I think that's what we're on the right path of doing. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's not going to happen overnight, but at least there's a commitment to begin to do that process.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this worker to management to worker ratio, because that really, again, I read that report. And certainly it more than would cover what he initially said they needed to save in this contract. How realistic is that change now going to be, and what kind of response are you getting from the workers on just that part of the contract?
Well, I mean, I think when we first came out with that, people assumed that we're saying fire all managers because there's too many. And, you know, and after sitting down with the governor and sitting down with others in the state, you know, that's not what we mean at all. What we mean is let's do a study. Let's look at departments. And where there's management that, you know, is top heavy, where it doesn't make sense, then let's look at how we change up, you know, that ratio by adding more workers to the front lines. And, you know, let's do it. And there may even be departments where we need more management and others where we need less. But let's look at it strategically. Let's look at it together. And let's make the decision that's going to be the best for the citizens that are getting those services and for the workers that are delivering them. So I think it's very realistic. But, I think it's going to take us really working together and analyzing the structure and going deeper And I'm excited to do that.
Well, I'm excited too. I got to tell you, when the announcement, Cindy, when the announcement came out that you guys had come to a tentative agreement, I was shocked. I didn't expect it. I didn't see it coming. And you know, I thought, okay, they're going to go now into fact-finding mode. And God only knows how long this thing gets delayed. And I really thought that we were looking at maybe the first of the year or even longer than that. Were you surprised that this came to a conclusion so quickly?
You know, I wasn't surprised. I was always hopeful because I thought that we had some really good arguments on why we could get a tentative agreement. I think that there's always some of those on the other side of the table that really are more interested in going to what we call impasse, which is a type of arbitration with the Civil Service Commission. But you know, we didn't focus on those naysayers. We really just stayed at the table and kept showing the proof that we could get this agreement done. And luckily, you know, we sat down with the governor and he saw that it made more sense. And it would have been a shame not to get an agreement when we have four GM and Chrysler workers sitting down at the table showing they can work together. You know, we need to show that we can do the same in the state. I think it's good for Michigan. I think it's good for the workers. I think it's good for management. And it's good for all of us.
Yeah, well, let's before we get to the break here, Cindy, I want to address something. And I realize I'm putting you a little bit on the spot here, but let's talk for just a minute about the UAW's success, not only with the Big Three, what I had been calling the Big Four, that would be the state of Michigan. You know, frankly, the UAW did something that is absolutely amazing. You saved jobs, you actually grew jobs, and more importantly, you protected workers in a historic way. Who would have thought just a couple months ago that we would be sitting here in November truly having that to be thankful for?
You know, what's really funny to me, having been around, you know, maybe not as long as others, but been around a while, workers have always wanted to do that. They've always been really smart at the table about it being about protecting jobs, about making sure that there's a long-term vision for the company. We just didn't have management always thinking that we added anything. And so I think a crisis in our state really forces people to sit down and collaborate and figure out how we work together to accomplish really the same goals. And I think that's had a lot to do with it, because I think the UAW has always had that vision and the workers have always been really smart about that. And I think it's a real shame that as we're showing that in a crisis we can come together, that the legislature doesn't see that, that they're still trying to focus on emergency financial managers. They're still trying to focus on laws that, you know, are anti-union, instead of saying, let's come together, sit down at the table, and that we're capable of resolving these issues.
Absolutely. Let's pick it up from there after the break, because we can look at our neighbors in Ohio, and we can say, you know, that easily could have been us. It wasn't, but it easily could have been. And so I'd like you to, you know, kind of comment on that. We're going to take a very quick break here. Cindy Estrada, again, my guest. She's a vice president with United Auto Workers. For those of you that are not aware, and you should be, we talked about it enough. Cindy, along with a group of amalgamated unions, the SEIU, AFSCME, and others, came together and negotiated a united contract for State of Michigan employees. Yes, it was fair and equitable. Yes, it got them a raise. Yes, it was probably a shock to most people. And this is a huge victory. They are in ratification mode as we speak. We'll find out when they'll have the answer on this contract. But let's take a quick break. If you care to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll
Happy
be back.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Alan West, who's a congressman from Florida, gets his information from, what can we say, interesting sources? This is what he had to say on national television.
In the movie G.I. Jane, Demi Moore was waterboarded, and we do use that in military training.
G.I. Jane. He references G.I. Jane? Really?
Well, I think that the military needs to develop lightsabers because in the movie Star Wars, they proved to be pretty useful.
On 1310 WDTW.
Tea Party guy, by the way.
Scrooge was a nasty old miser, but even he came to see the soul-destroying evil of his ways and found redemption in the end. One wonders, though, is there any hope for the Scrooges of Washington? Congressional Republicans are protecting tax breaks for Wall Street billionaires and big oil, while demanding that programs to aid America's growing number of poor people either be slashed or eliminated. The Obama White House is fighting most of this nonsense, but it's trying to appease the GOP by offering to sacrifice programs that ordinary people really need. For example, LIHEAP. Much of the country doesn't know what that is, but people who go through the long, bitterly cold winters in the Northeast know that LIHEAP literally is a lifeline for the thousands of poor families there. It's the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, which helps the poor afford the steadily rising price being charged for the heating oil that northeastern states rely on. Home heating oil in Maine is presently running $3.66 a gallon, up from $2.87 a year ago. Yet, in a concession to the GOP, Obama has proposed whacking LIHEAP's funding so severely that average benefits this winter would fall from about $800 per home to just over $300. That's not just throwing a budget into the Republican shredder, it's throwing people into it. In Bangor, Maine, where the average January low is only 7 degrees above zero, the slashed benefits will buy only about 100 gallons of fuel for the typical low-income home. It takes 850 gallons for those homes to stay heated through the winter season. This is Jim Hightower saying, rather than literally tossing the poor into the cold, how about cutting off all the heat to the White House and Capitol? Let those Scrooges feel the sting of their budgetary miserliness.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Cindy Estrada, my guest. She is, of course, Vice President with United Auto Workers, coming off really a marathon sessions, plural, to come to an agreement with the state of Michigan. As I said before the break, amalgamation of unions decided to bargain together, which some thought was a risk. Obviously, it didn't end up being a risk. It ended up being the right thing to do. And, you know, Cindy, as we look to our neighbors in Ohio, they were, you know, on Election Day, just last Tuesday, going to the ballot box, to defeat, thankfully, a measure that would have truly weakened collective bargaining, you know, if they would have just taken a cue from their friends here in Michigan. Certainly what you have done, the UAW, SEIU asked me, the unions, what you have done has shown that collective bargaining actually works in a pretty pristine way.
And isn't it exciting? I think, you know, all the citizens of Ohio just stood up and said that they believe that. What they were really saying is that we want a seat at the table. We're capable of solving problems. And, it's not in Michigan. Our laws are a little bit different. And so our bargaining is governed by the Constitution and the Civil Service Commission. So there's some things that legislatures can't do. However, make no mistake, Tony, one of the things that's happening right now is there's a lot of laws where they're trying to piecemeal gutting collective bargaining in our state. So we're still up against that in a very real way.
Well, again, we can easily turn to the success and say we don't need to change it because what we have works, Cindy.
That's right. That's right. And I'm hoping that those who make that we elect to make the laws in the state see that. Unfortunately, you know, I'm still seeing bills out there. You know, they're very, these legislators are very ideological. I mean, one, which is crazy, is to ban the ability of unions to hold meetings in public facilities. I mean, that would be like a corporation, Tony, saying, you know what, we have a problem, but we're not going to allow the people who are there to solve the problem meet to discuss it. They have to meet somewhere else. I mean, it's crazy. Why would you try and have workers not provide them a space with management to solve problems that are just going to be better for our citizens?
Well,
so I still want to stay very, we need to stay very aggressive and pointing out where they're trying to gut collective bargaining here in a very piecemeal approach.
Yeah, there's no question that, we really do need to pay attention, not to mention the battle that we have coming up. And just a few weeks ago, we had Professor Gordon Lafer on this show to educate this audience about the truth of right to work. Of course, we know it is right to work for less, but that is a battle, Cindy, that is coming up, and it'll be after the first of the year, but it is coming up, and we need to pay attention to that because we're going to need an army of people to fight the mistruths that they are already putting out there about that legislation.
And I think businesses need to stand up, too, because really the businesses like Ford, GM, and Chrysler, and all, you know, and even the governor, we've proved that working together that we can find solutions. We proved that, we can get a lot done. So when they bring up right to work, I think they're attacking both sides of the table, not just the unions. They're attacking they're attacking management labor relations. And I think they need to be, that needs to be pointed out, and everyone needs to speak up very loudly against that.
Yeah, no question. Cindy, let's talk a little bit about the state contract, the ratification process, when that ends, and when we might expect to get an answer from state workers on a yes or no on this contract.
So this contract is, you know, would go into effect in October of 2012. And so the ratification will happen in December. The very beginning of December, we'll know whether or not workers accept this agreement. And then because you have to have the agreement done so the governor can put it into his budget message. So first week of December. Short answer.
Okay, and have you had much feedback from state workers? I mean, the majority of the feedback I have has been mostly positive. I haven't actually had anything negative.
I mean, we've had very positive feedback. I think new solutions, people are you know, cautious about, but excited that we're actually going to have a chance to sit down and talk about privatization, management ratio, management to worker ratio, and efficiencies. They're happy about the raise. And so everything, I think, in the contract, people are, pretty excited about. What we're not excited about is workers are more focused on the fact that right now the legislature is trying to get, you know, the 4% on the retiree health care and pensions. So, which is not part of our bargaining. So we have to, you know, I think workers are excited about the contract and nervous about, you know, other laws that the legislature is trying to pass.
Well, certainly people can say what they will about Governor Snyder, and trust me, Cindy, I think you and I could both agree on a list that we would be in favor of and a lot of things that we would be concerned about as it relates to this governor. But as it relates to this negotiation, the governor at least was honest enough to step up to the plate and say, you know what, I told you to bring me solutions and I'd look at them. You did, and he did. And we do need to give him credit for that.
You know, I think he really showed real leadership on these issues. You know, one thing that I often say is, you know, just because, you know, we can agree and give credit where we need to, but doesn't mean that there's not other issues that we have.
Absolutely.
One being, you know, the fact that right now what's happening with welfare and the time limit. You know, I just read something the other day, Tony. In the month of August, over 500 people were looking for jobs, and there were only 100,000 available. And so we're people, you know, we're going to take you off welfare and you need to get a job, yet the jobs aren't there.
Yeah, and the worst part is the legislators, there's one guy in Genesee County area, and I don't remember his name, that said, you know what, they just need to go out and find work. They have to stop being lazy and just go out and find a job. Well, they're just not there, Cindy. They're just not, the jobs aren't there. You know, and you can't go, you can't even go get a job at McDonald's. We had this conversation the other day. You can't get a job at McDonald's. It's not that they don't have jobs. They're not going to hire a head of household that has four children. They're not doing it, Cindy.
And the jobs out there, you know, actually McDonald's, you know, I hate to say this, but in some of the supply, in the supplier industry, I mean, 80% of the car is built by these workers in the supplier industry. And these are hard jobs. And right now we're sitting down at the table and companies are saying that they want wages like $10 and $11 an hour.
Yeah.
And then the other piece of the wage that no one talks about, and then saying that they're going to pay $200 or $300, $400 a month in their premium share for health care. Those are the kind of jobs that are being created. That's why I wish that the legislature would focus on creating jobs, good jobs, instead of trying to pass laws that are just going to continue to hurt workers.
Unfortunately, Cindy Estrada, the reason they're not doing that is because the average person didn't contribute to their campaign, and therefore they can't benefit financially from their relationship with their constituency. It's sick. And it's wrong, it's immoral, and maybe we could talk more about that next month. In the meantime, Cindy, we're going to let you go for now. I hope that, you know, next month we can get you in studio. I know how busy you are at this time, and so I appreciate you being with us. Blessings to you and happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, same to you, Tony. Thank you.
You bet. Cindy Estrada, Vice President of the United Auto Workers. We're going to be open lines in the next half hour, so feel free to reach out to us, 888-552-3595. It truly is remarkable what the UAW and the other associated unions were able to accomplish.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Let me just welcome her back to First Shift. We've got a lot to get to, and Senator, thanks for joining us this morning, and thank you again for your leadership. Appreciate everything you're doing to help those of us that see what we need to do to create real change in the state, and I appreciate your courage.
Well, Tony, it's so good to be with you, and you're a critical part of creating that change, so thank you.
I appreciate that. We played some audio from you from yesterday where you asked your Republican cohorts if they would consider perhaps delaying a two-week break to take care of some needed legislation. Let's talk before a lot of things I want to get to this morning, but let's first talk about the anti-bullying legislation. I want to take you back to last week, that impassioned speech you gave on the Senate floor that made international news. Now, listen, I'm proud of you for your leadership. Listen, the way you want to make news is not by outing your colleagues for doing something that is disdainful as creating a blueprint to bully. So let's be clear about that. Although we're proud of your leadership, we're not proud that that had to happen.
That's right. I mean, it's an embarrassment. What the state Senate Republicans did last week is essentially create so many excuses for bullying and to put it into law that they've given out a license to bully. And so we were just so disgusted. The family of Matt Epling, who has been champions of this because he, you know, was a victim of some horrendous bullying and took his own life. It was just a mockery of the fight that we have waged for years. And so we had to take him to the carpet on it. And justifiably, I mean, everybody knows somebody, and that's why that floor statement went viral, and Stephen Colbert did a piece on it the night before last, just making a mockery of the Michigan Republican senators. And but you know what? Sometimes you need to be called out, and that's how we're getting change. And that's why even Republican governor and the Republican House of Representatives have now taken a step forward on anti-bullying laws, and that's a good outcome for all kids in Michigan.
Well, I had Kevin Epling on the show yesterday, and a wonderful visit, an amazing man, said nice things about you, of course, and appreciated the time and the effort that you've been putting into Mad Safe School Law. What did the House do yesterday in regards to anti-bullying? Because I know that Michigan Equality is not happy with the bill. They consider it weak, and some are criticizing it because it doesn't enumerate in the way that we want it to. What does it do? So maybe we can feel a little bit better about what was passed in the House yesterday.
Well, currently across the country, 47 states have some form of anti-bullying law on the books. Michigan has nothing. What the Senate Republicans wanted to do was not only was worse than nothing, because it would create, you know, reasons for bullying. So the House passed a law yesterday that says every school district has to have a policy. That's a step forward. Is it three steps forward so we're going to have the best law on the books? No. I mean, ultimately, I would like to see a whole lot more things on cyberbullying and reporting and enumeration, but it's a step forward, and I am supportive of Michigan at least coming into the mainstream with what the other states are doing. So, yes, I mean, it's but at least having requirement that every district have an anti-bullying policy on the books will make a difference.
And it will make a difference. You know, I was bullied, Senator Whitmer, so I'm one of those people that this matter, it's personal for me, and I'm just going to be honest about it. It's personal for me, and I know that when you are one of those kids, I'll be honest with you, you just feel like you have nowhere to turn. You don't want to go to crying to mom and dad. You don't want to tell your friends because that could make it worse. You don't want to confront the bullies because you're afraid you're going to get, frankly, you're afraid you're going to get hurt. And
right.
So if you're being bullied, you feel like there's no one there to care about you, that cares about you. It's a very difficult situation to be in.
Oh, it sure is. And so many kids are ashamed and so scared to go to school. They don't want to get out of their parents' car when they're getting dropped off. They're crying, don't send me in there. And I can't imagine being that child or their parent. I mean, the stories that we have heard from around the world in reaction to what the Senate Republicans did are so heartbreaking. But the courage that it takes to tell the story, and the knowledge that it's going to get better, knowing that this is in our mainstream discussion now, is going to help kids. And the knowledge that it does get better, I think, is something that we really need to be cognizant of. That is something that will help kids that are suffering right now.
Oh, there's no question that's true. You know, let's for a moment focus on, and one of the things that I found quite interesting about the speech you gave on the Senate floor yesterday was about the kind of bills that are passing right now in the Senate. None of it creates a job. None of it protects people. None of it moves us forward. You know, we just had a recall of Paul Scott, and the Republicans and their bravado said, oh, all that does is strengthen our resolve. Resolve to do what? Continue to attack the middle class, to attack labor unions in this state? I don't understand what their agenda is, Senator. I just don't get it.
Well, I agree, and that's why I pointed out some of the ridiculous things that we did just yesterday before we go on a hunting break of all things. I mean, people are looking at our legislature and saying, what the heck are they doing? They're passing laws to make English the official language of Michigan. They're passing laws to permit the transport of watermelons. That's what we're spending our time and taxpayer money on when we have important issues, extremely important issues. And it's just it's a disgrace. And I guess that was the point that I was trying to convey. How can you justify taking a hunting break, any sort of a vacation, when the people of Michigan are struggling and we've got things that we can do and we're spending time on this foolishness? And I said, you're almost convinced me we need a part-time legislature, because I certainly don't see what good we're doing when we are here.
Well, yeah, that when you said that kind of stunned me. Is there any chance that they will delay this break, or is it on 2 weeks and that's it?
No, I think it's on. I mean, they kind of looked at me when I gave the speech, and then they adjourned and said, we'll see you after Thanksgiving. So, you know, I mean, you can get national scrutiny, you can be called the laughingstock of the nation, and yet you're still going to make sure that you take your hunting break, which is so backward, and that's part of my frustration at the Capitol.
Now, I'm just going to go back a little bit. You said something that really picked my interest, and you're right, you know, because your video went viral, but it went viral for a reason. It went viral because it was the right set of words at the right time and the right topic. Here's what we know. We know that now if we get enough numbers, and this just kind of proves that if you get enough numbers, even the Republicans have to say, take a step back, rethink this. They might not want to, but it forced them to do that. There's a victory in that. That also sends us another message that if us as concerned voters in mass, step up and say enough is enough, they will stop this insanity. We just need the numbers, and we don't have them right now. Let's just be honest about it.
I think that's a good point, but, you know, I'm encouraged by the election results on Tuesday and what happened in Ohio. I mean, the middle class is tired of getting kicked. The important thing is that we don't walk away and discuss, that we take action, that we send these, you know, floor statements around so that they go viral, that we let our legislators know what we think, and that we turn out at the ballot box. And that's the most important thing you can do if you want change. But there are incremental things that we can do between now and the next election, and that's a part of the social media and weighing in, making your voice heard.
I want to make sure that because a lot of people are not going to read this morning, the papers aren't going to pick this up. You fought very hard yesterday to return funding to schools. You fought very hard yesterday to do that. Your colleagues said no, but no one's going to tell this story this morning. I read it in Gongwer, but you're not seeing it in the Free Press. You're not seeing the news. You're not seeing the Lansing State Journal. You're not seeing it anywhere. But you fought very hard yesterday to return that funding to schools, and the Republicans said no.
I appreciate you pointing that out. You know, we have found that there is a surplus of all things in the general fund and the school aid fund, almost $500 million. You know, the school aid fund was what the governor and the legislative Republicans used as their piggy bank to pay for a $1.7 billion tax break, forcing cuts on schools that didn't need to happen. Now we find out, okay, we didn't need all that money. I've said, let's put it back. Let's put it back into the schools that we stole it from. And three Republicans agreed with me, but that's all. So it was my Democratic caucus plus three Republicans, and I couldn't get it done, but this is something that we, you know, it's maybe one of the most important things we did yesterday, and yet, you know, can't get it accomplished.
Well, again, and no one's going to tell that story, so I wanted to make sure we did. And not because, you know, I'm just looking to pat you on the back. People need to know that it's not just you, but the Democrats, and we'll give those three Republicans a pat on the back as well. Absolutely. I have no problem doing that. Because those monies do need to go back to the school systems. I was very encouraged, by the way, by all the millages that passed. 92% of the millages that were offered in the state passed on Tuesday. Senator Whitmer, that tells us that as citizens, were willing to pay for services that we consider to be essential. In a lot of communities, that meant money, more money for our schools. I just hope your Republican colleagues are paying attention to that.
I hope so, too, because I do think people in Michigan are willing to pitch in when they see that it's going to something meaningful. Not a business, indiscriminate business tax break, but if you know it's going to your schools or to your police, people are comfortable with that. And that's why every time they raid the school aid fund to pay for their business friends' tax breaks, people lose faith in the whole system. And, you know, we've got to change that.
That's well, and you're changing, and you're doing a great job. By the way, congratulations on your recent nuptials. A little under the radar, but you got married recently, and I hope that, I want to wish you the best. And thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I really appreciate it.
All right, Senator Gretchen Whitmer, Senate Minority Leader. We're going to take a quick break here. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
That'll do it for us for today. I hope you enjoyed the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember to add a like to our Facebook page, and also you can follow us on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. That's Trupiano. Remember to punch back in with us weekdays from 6 to 9 in the morning right here on 1310 WDTW. Have a great day, and as Tony would say, be well.
This holiday, Chevy's giving more. Get more savings on your favorite 2012 Chevy vehicles like the fuel-efficient EPA-estimated 42-mpg Cruise Echo or Traverse that seats up to 8 passengers, not to mention the truck that gets things done, Silverado. Hurry in and get the best savings of the season before January 3rd.
Are your kids on the computer all day? Pulling the power cord can get them onto the playground. Creative moms can keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Drive through McDonald's and try the new dollar menu featuring meaty, melty McDouble with 100% beef and cheese or the golden McChicken. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Bonus round time. If you can't teach an old dog new tricks, what can you teach him?
Conversational French?
Correct.
Ooh.
Gingerbread men are...
Gingerbread boys, all grown up.
Correct. Who lets you watch movies instantly on your Nintendo 3DS or on your TV through your Wii console?
Duh! Netflix!
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Hey, did I just win that new car over there?
No, I didn't.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift. Weekdays from 6 to 9 right here on...